It's showtime.
Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. We are off and running for yet another installment of the ongoing effort at independent, liberal, progressive broadcast conversation we know as The Horn. HeadOn.live is where we live. That's where you go to find the access to the stream, the easiest access to the stream. The stream's all over the place, frankly. But it's also where you go if you'd like to participate in the chat room, which is doggone good fun. Each and every evening, Monday through Friday, from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the hours when this program is live. And if you jump in this evening with your screen name and your password, why, by Jove, you'll be met and greeted and welcomed by the likes of Anatole and Otto and Squeaky and VT Blom and Warrior Witch and Zorball. Hi, Zorball. And capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a spacing guild master, has decided to quit fooling around and folded space to become Man Cave. You will also be moderated by midweek pinch hit utility chat room moderator and all-around great guy, Steve from Georgistan, both of whom will be happy, I tell you, to see your countenance there in the room. And many thanks. We begin the program with thanks every evening. Thanks to our subscribers for this particular day. Thank you very much to our buddy Gary, labor man in New Mexico. Thank you to Samuel. And thank you to Nancy, all of whom are our subscribers for this 17th day of the month. If you'd like to be a subscriber too, it's real easy. Just go to the website, headon.live, click the PayPal button. Put in, $10, 10.00, and check that box that says make this a recurring or make this happen every month or whatever it says there, and you'll be part of the set it and forget it, not quite happy, not quite 100, not the not quite happy 100. I'm going to presume people are happy to have the program, so you'll be part of the happy, not quite 100 who knock out about a fourth of the fundraising needs for the Horn on any given month. So thanks to our subscribers, and we knocked down quite a bit of the deficit last night, and so I'm happy to report that this evening, this Thorn in the Side Thursday, the 17th of January 2019, our fundraising goal is only $395. That's a whole lot better than $5.95 or $6.95 or $7.95. $3.95, and if we wipe out $195, we'll be good through yesterday. If we can raise $3.95, we'll be good through this evening. And if we were to wipe out $5.95, we'd be done for the week. And we'd have only, one more week of fundraising during January, and then we can get into some fundraising free radio, which I especially love. So that's where it all stands. $3.95 to finish the evening, and $5.95 to finish the week. We got one more bill on the table that I'm hoping to knock out, have to knock out by tomorrow, Friday, the 18th. But with any luck at all, we'll take a big chunk out of it. Thank you so very much for keeping all of this going. I cannot thank you. I cannot thank you enough. Let's see. It's Thorn in the Side Thursday. And mercy sakes, that means we are dealing with, yeah, things that make us go, ow, yeah, right. Thank you very kindly, Randy and PA. We're apparently banging along on all of our various and sundry streams, both at HeadOn.live and WhiteRoseSociety.org, and the streams that go out to Stitcher and Roku to TuneIn. Good. Thank you. Note coming in from Brother Deacon Asa, who said, you know how you always say if you're explaining, you're losing? I couldn't help but notice that Rudy Giuliani was finding himself on the explaining end of that conversation last night. Is this a turning point? I don't know that it's a turning point, but it looks pretty... Well, how can you... I presume everybody has seen that clip by now. Jesus Christ, if you were charged with jaywalking... Rudy could probably get you the gas chamber. That was some drop-dead horrible lying going on last night. But he is... that conversation with Chris Cuomo was a hot mess. And... So what's the story now? It's almost hard to keep up. Now, according to Rudy Giuliani... Somebody in the Trump campaign might have colluded and conspired with the Russians, but there's only one crime that Donald Trump could have conspired and colluded in, but he didn't, and that was conspiring to hack hack the election. And it made about as much sense as a Pink Floyd album played backwards, but it. That's just where Rudy Giuliani, you know, is. Did I do the "Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid" part? We're off and running, and I forgot. Well, I am Bob Kincaid, not high, but yeah. And thanks going out early on this evening to Otto DeShot, who says who gets us started and takes us down to 375 bucks to finish the evening and 575 to finish the week. I'd like to do more, but I have gardening commitments. Take care, Bob. Well, thank you, Otto. There's no need to do more. That's doing a lot. That's doing a ton. So hopefully you'll have some company along the way. And, hey, welcome. Welcome, and then goodbye to Faith Ann. So, come back sometime. Thorns in the side. Where to begin? Well, we know, of course, now, we were talking about this last night, that Nancy Pelosi is so far out in front of Donald Trump, it's not even funny. And he, of course, responded to being disinvited. And what a stroke of genius it was. She had every right to do it. And the shutdown provided ample reason for it, because it's like a national emergency level security double secret probation event, the State of the Union. And it's kind of hard to do that when you're understaffed and underfunded during a government shutdown. And you know by now that Julius Geezer responded by saying, well, if I can't get clapped at, she can't have a ride on an airplane. And insisted that a congressional trip to visit the troops in Afghanistan, who, regardless of what you feel about the war in Afghanistan, we shouldn't be in the Forgotten Legion business. And there was going to be a stop off for pilot rest in in Belgium, and they were going to visit NATO and reaffirm our NATO commitment, especially in light of the fact that the President of the United States, on orders from Vladimir Putin, is saying he would like to shatter, break up, get out of NATO. And so his temper tantrum was to say, I'm canceling their trip if I can't. And so enter, because apparently he hasn't taken off to have his Canadian hernia surgery yet. Man, his Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, that thing on his head, he must surely have gotten his ass kicked up and down Bowling Green, Kentucky, when he got on the wrong side of his neighbor there by being a dick. Because, well, I mean, Rand Paul. Right? Yeah?
You dick!
Right. I mean, he must have just beat the shit out of Rand Paul. And yeah, the poor man's got a lot of legal troubles now, but at that point in time, it must have felt good. I can only guess. But Rand Paul, he and that thing on his head, went howling over to Fox News TV Radio Rwanda because Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, and that thing on his head, you know, Rand is comfortably well off. He's socially secure. And he done had himself an idea.
In the meantime, yesterday, she sent the president a note. Hey, because there's a shutdown, and this is a scary place. The Secret Service and Department of Homeland Security, those people aren't getting paid. We got to worry about security, even though they said nobody talked to us and we're fine. She is trying to essentially call off the State of the Union.
Yeah, I think that's a real affront to the American people. And what I would suggest is that Senator McConnell's in charge.
Well, no, Rand, it's not a real affront to the American people, because the State of the Union address wasn't even a public speech up until about 1913 with the election of Woodrow Wilson to the presidency. Up until that time, with the exception of George Washington and John Adams, the president had written some remarks on the well-being of the nation and sent it over to the Congress and thus fulfilled his constitutionally mandated duty to deliver an assessment of the state of the union. If you go and look at the Constitution, you'll find that it's not referred to as shall give a State of the Union address or a State of the Union speech. It is not an affront to the nation, Rand. And frankly, what you know about the Constitution, you could, if it was liquid, you wouldn't have enough to drown a piss ant in it, okay? And I, for one, don't much care about the State of the Union, whether it's being delivered by a Democrat or a Republican, whether it's being delivered by a man or a woman, because what it is it's become, and you get this in sort of late empire sorts of cultural milieus, it's a set piece. It's a piece of stylized performance art. The president stands there and says things, and half the room jumps to its feet and claps, and the other half sits there on their hands looking dour and serious and unhappy. And then the people that were clapping sit back down, and the president says a few more things, and then everybody jumps up and claps again. And then the president will point out someone in the audience that he's invited there to sit with the presidential spouse and serve as a sort of stage prop for one issue or another. And this goes on for an hour. And then the loyal opposition delivers its response. And then everybody talks about it. as if it had any real substance for the next 2 days. And if we apply the ancient maxim, the ancient Latin maxim of cui bono, to whom the benefit, to that, it doesn't benefit. It does. It really doesn't confer any political benefit. Both sides claim victory, and it doesn't cause any. It doesn't lead to any social benefit. Some presidents are better orators than others. In the case of Julius Caesar, we'd get to see him standing there playing his imaginary squeeze box for an hour and sniffling and huffling and snorting and, because for him to be able to stand there and rail away for an hour probably requires enough fucking Adderall to make a camel climb a tree. And the only people who benefit by it, like for the most part, are the multimillionaire for-profit media. And being as how I'm not part of the multimillionaire for-profit media, it doesn't do much for me or for us. Because there are always lots of things to talk about besides a largely meaningless speech. So Rand Paul and that thing on his head, libertarian ophthalmologist who is comfortably well off and socially secure, he can stick that his affront to the American people bullshit where the sun never shines.
Parts of the Senate, let's host it in the Senate. This will be the first.
That's that. Okay, let's not miss this gem of the thorn in the side Thursday intellect from libertarian ophthalmologist Rand Paul.
Senator McConnell's in charge of the Senate. Let's host it in the Senate. This would be the first time in history that the House would deny a president the forum of speaking. If she's going to do that, let's hold it in the Senate.
Let's ask the crowd.
Yeah, hold on. No, let's don't ask the crowd yet. This is not the first time in history that the president has been denied. It has been rescheduled. It was 1986 when they put off Ronald Wilson Reagan, old 666 himself's State of the Union address, because the Space Shuttle Challenger had blown up in the sky just the day before he was scheduled to give the address, and there was some notion that he might want to address the thing, and nobody really knew much of anything at that point in time. We hadn't learned about frozen and degraded O-ring seals or people insisting that the space shuttle launch go off in for that area insanely cold temperatures down in South Florida. And so for the good of the nation and because of exigent circumstances, Reagan's address was postponed, which is exactly what Nancy Pelosi told Julius Caesar was going to happen. We're going to postpone this. If you really must give a speech, you can deliver it in writing, or we can postpone it until the government is open and we have sufficient resources to provide all the security that you need, you septuagenarian, orange-faced, tiny-fingered man-baby you. But there's something like 3,700 fewer square feet in the Senate chamber. The Senate is a smaller room than the House of Representatives, always has been, because by dint of the fact that the House is apportioned by population and the Senate is apportioned by a simple formula that says every state gets two senators, the Senate doesn't need as much room. And so the House chambers, and many of you, as well as I, have visited that space. It is a significantly larger space than the Senate, and the Senate chambers are not sufficient to host an event of the size of the State of the Union. Especially when you consider the necessity of inviting the House. Because you'd have to invite the House, Rand Paul. What, did he knock your brains loose too, dumbass? But he was so proud of himself for coming up with a real, live, honest-to-goodness, no-kidding idea that he even put it out on a tweet. Senator McConnell is in charge of the Senate. If Mrs. Pelosi, hey, you disrespectful prick, that is Speaker Pelosi to you and that thing on your head, refuses to allow the president to deliver the State of the Union in the House, I propose we move it to the Senate and make it happen. Well, if he wants to deliver a speech so goddamn bad, he can deliver it from, well, I mean, look what he did last week. Got himself all Adderall'd up and sat there and snorted and snuffled his way through a bullshit 8-minute address from the Oval Office, in which he had one pupil as big as a hen's egg and the other eye was slitted so closed. Right. Yeah, 3,887 fewer square feet in the Senate than the House chamber, just for people who want to get into that. Yeah. So true, Clarity pointing out, Adderall, it's not just for children anymore, man babies too. I'm so sensitive to stimulants, I cannot imagine what it would be like to even touch that stuff. I mean, if I screw up and drink a bottle of Diet Sun-Kissed Orange Soda, the only orange soda with caffeine in it, what are you people fucking thinking? I won't sleep for a couple of days. And I will be a mess. Heart palpitations and all of that stuff. I don't know how a 72, 73-year-old orange man baby can even cope with it. But then again, he's probably been junked out on it for so long that he can't, he has to constantly up the dosage. Lee with a note says, SOTU, State of the Union, just thinking about the State of the Union, there is a designated survivor who does not attend. How many people want that assignment? I can hear a roar of, pick me, please, pick me. One alone does not enter. Somehow that obtusely, obscurely reminds me of the short story, Those Who Walk Away from Amelas by Ursula Le Guin. Yeah, we take one person who can't be there and just put them in a dark room and beat the shit out of them for a couple of hours. Hey, Rand Paul! Pissant. But I can never remember which one's which. Either Kilmeade or Douchey jumps in to try to save Rand Paul after he shares his brilliant idea.
To do that, let's hold it in the Senate.
Let's ask the crowd right here. Do you think it's a good idea if Nancy Pelosi won't host it, move across the building into the Senate? Yeah. Round of applause.
Oh, clap, you Fox bots, clap.
I'll just be another example of more dysfunction.
No, dumbass. It's not another example of more dysfunction. It's an example of the fact that the government shut down 800,000 American citizens, our brothers and sisters, are presently holding yard sales in the dead of goddamn winter, taking second jobs, forming up food banks, soup kitchens, to try to survive the temper tantrum being thrown by that misanthropic shithead in the White House. Jesus, he disgusts me. But what are you going to do? Randy in PA says, I knew someone who couldn't order coffee at restaurants because he couldn't risk getting high test by mistake. I've had that happen. And any time that there's like several coffee cups being passed around, I will look at them and say, is this, you promise me, decaf? And they'll go, oh, yeah, okay. A couple of times it hasn't been, and it will ruin a day. We were traveling once, and I accidentally dosed up with caffeine. Had to stop for a while. Couldn't drive. I mean, it was just, I don't mean couldn't drive like in, wee, you know, get, woo, 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 woo. No. I mean, the heart was going, I'm freaking out. So you just got to wonder what does Adderall do to a spirochete? Oh, and by the way, a quick update. You know, we've been talking for a couple of days now about that photo of the bandage on Geezer Disgustus's hand. Sarah Hasselbeck Sandbags was asked about it, and given that she is a professional liar, just not very good at it, she offered up the fact that his hand was bandaged and bleeding, because there's a big old blood spot on it. Because he had gotten scratched by Baron while they were playing. Anyone who thinks for an instant that Donald Trump has ever spent a moment playing with Baron, would you like to buy a bridge? Some beachfront property in Mongolia? How about some magic beans? And you know that's a bullshit excuse when you realize that young Baron will turn 13 in March of this year. 13. Now, we've raised children, four of them, as a matter of fact. And I was even around for some of it. Agnes did most of the heavy lifting. But, yeah, I played with our kids. And I can see where you could get a scratch or something. But a puncture wound? Now, you could maybe be roughhousing with the family dog or cat a little too hard and maybe get a puncture wound in the back of your hand that way. But there's no. But cats and dogs refuse to live around Donald Trump. And so Sarah Hasselbeck Sandbags had to blame that on Baron. And so it's just a great big giant humongous co-inky dinky that Baron gave his septuagenarian daddy a bloody puncture wound in the back of his hand in the exact same place where you would put an IV port. Where the IV set would be taped in so that you could, I don't know, put the liquid Adderall into him in a desperate attempt to get the fucking dose right. Oh, thank you, dear. The nurse in the family, Agnes, just yelled and said, Haldol! Look it up. It actually makes sense. That or he was holding up his hand to stop the Thorazine blowgun dart that was headed for his neck. Because remember, he has been a little subdued there in the last couple of appearances. Yeah, Matt in San Francisco pointing out, scratch? I think Melania is probably pretty handy with a knife. I mean, why not say, he got hurt throwing darts?
Well, okay, confirmation of my previous concerns about caffeine. Clarity pointing out, you've played waiter roulette? Which one is the decaf? The one with the napkin. We had no orange decaf pots, and whoops, you're wired. I'm guilty of a few in my 22 years slinging enchiladas and halibut cheeks. Yeah, I don't think it was intentional. It just these things happen. Meanwhile, Brother Deacon Asa says, we all know what happened to his hand. Melanoma caught him in the act and broke his skin. Gives a whole new meaning to being married to melanoma. That's a three jingle cowbell there, Brother Deacon Asa. Meanwhile, Darlene in Connecticut says, maybe they brought another bald eagle into the Oval and it finally nailed him. I thought the same. IV entry. It's the only thing that makes any sense. That or little Baron has fangs. Now, Eddie Munster, before you go to bed, make sure you brush your fangs. Can I say goodnight to Spot? Well, yes. We're living in a series of bad, well, no, they were bad attempts at reboots of 1960s sitcoms. The horror. Mm-hmm. What's that? Lee in New York, subject line, playing with Baron. I can imagine Trump getting injured after Baron screams something like, keep away from me! Sarah Sanders' next excuse, he fell on my knife 10 times. Yes, that's known as the Bob Ewell explanation. Marty says, if melanoma's good with a knife, when might she pull her imitation of Lorena Bobbitt? Well, let's see. We are 35 minutes into the program, and we just took an off-ramp into the gutter. Thanks, Marty. Steve in New York, on the other hand, says, my money's on Ivanka biting him while they were sucking each other's blood while they were both sleeping upside down. You were great. You remind me of Ivanka upside down. Meanwhile, note coming in from Flavio. Subject line, goddamn Mexicans! Jose Andres just defended furloughed workers and immigrants in one swoop by setting up one of his famous relief kitchens blocks from the White House. This from yesterday. Somebody needs to nominate Jose Andres for the Nobel Peace Prize. Because he damn sure deserves it. When our government failed the American citizens in Puerto Rico, Jose Andres was there and fed people without fear nor favor nor any. He just knew there were hungry people, and he fed them. He fed people after other hurricanes, and now, yes, with hungry government workers in Washington, D.C., he has set up another of his famous impromptu dining locations. And he's taking care of the people that Donald Trump is ignoring. By the way, Donald Trump's approval rating continues to plummet. Interestingly, in a Marist poll, he appears to be failing most spectacularly with some of the maggots. In some demographics, losing 9, 10, 11 points in the space of exactly 1 month. And it's all coming from his shutdown. Because people actually saw him say, I'll take the blame, and then try to shift the blame to other people. Namely, and to wit, Democrats. And I'm not trying to piss anybody off, so please don't. But I do have to note one thing. We talked a little bit yesterday about the Senate vote to maintain sanctions against Oleg Deripaska and what's the company, Rusal, the Russian aluminum company, and the fact that chinless Mitch McConnell insisted on giving a crooked criminal Russian oligarch a pass. The measure fell short of the needed 60 votes by three. But for the absence of one individual, it would have fallen short by two. Now, I want to be clear. I give Joe Manchin a lot of hell, mostly because he earns it. He showed up over on MSNBC prattling about civility. Let me see if I can pull that up. Just a second here. Yeah, there it is. Civility Joe showed up over on MSNBC talking to Hallie Jackson. And naturally, they had to talk about Trump's shutdown. And Civility Joe would probably spontaneously combust if he had to actually behave like the Democrat he professes to be. This, then, was the transaction.
Pelosi to this month's State of the Union address. She is citing government shutdown security concerns as the reason why she's asking him to either delay the speech or just send the letter to Congress until the shutdown is over. In less than 45 minutes, members of the House Problem Solvers Caucus will meet with the president to talk about the shutdown at the White House. Democratic Senator...
You know, they could take that House Problem Solvers Caucus or the Senate Problem Solvers Caucus and just change it to the Congressional Neo-Maxi Zoom Dweeby Caucus and say just about as much. These are mealy-mouthed, go-along-to-get-along collaborators with Julius Geezer. But that's just an editorial observation.
Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia is joining me now. Senator, thanks for coming and joining us on set.
Hallie, it's always good to be with you.
We have a lot to get to. Yes, let me start with Nancy Pelosi stating security concerns are the reason why she's essentially uninviting the president. Do you think that's why, or is this a political power play?
I'm not sure what her intentions are. I have the utmost respect for Speaker Pelosi, but I think this is wrong approach to be taking right now. The approach by saying we're going to shut this down and not have... because of security. I think our staff, and I spoke to the Capitol Police, I think...
A verb, Joe. We need a verb. She didn't shut down anything, Joe. Trump shut things down. He was handed a bill approved by both Democrats and Republicans in December that would keep the government open. And then the 72-year-old orange man baby threw a tantrum and held his breath till he turned oranger. And now the government shut down. Nancy Pelosi didn't shut down the State of the Union. She explained to Donald Trump that there was not sufficient staff to provide the necessary, oh my God, sweat condition alpha security that's required during a State of the Union address. But God forbid Joe should actually
know something like that. Joe's not a big knower of things. Joe feels things, and Joe believes things, and Joe yearns and aches and pines for things like civility and the good old days back in West Virginia where we're all just so goddamn nice.
They're still in place, and they're still getting paid.
So do you think, then, that the president should come and deliver a State of the Union no matter what on the 29th?
Well, it's not no matter what. I think he has to be invited by the House, as I understand it, because we're in their chamber.
Sure. Would you encourage the Speaker to reconsider and to allow the president
to come? I would always encourage that we should try to have every type of respectful dialogue that we possibly can. I just don't find where I come from.
Yeah, here it comes. It's the where I come from speech. Joe comes from West Virginia that I think largely exists only in Joe's own mind.
In West Virginia, we just don't act this way.
Well, here in Washington...
Where I come from in West Virginia, we just don't act this way. We don't shut the government down. No, we just do things like cutting taxes on coal and gas interests and until we find ourselves in a situation where the government practically shuts itself down. We don't do that sort of thing in West Virginia. And Joe was governor of West Virginia once, and Joe invited a bunch of people into his big old tent outside the governor's mansion to have a sit down and talk where people could explain their concerns about the destruction and poisoning of their communities, and the coal companies could say harumph, and Joe could say, well, go ahead, keep poisoning them. And that's exactly what happened. But along the way, and this was several years ago, for all I know, the cancer that would kill her was already growing in her body. But there was a protest, a march and a protest, in which people who were trying to save Southern West Virginia's sacrifice zone from the tender mercies of the coal companies and their clouds of deadly poison that descended over communities on a daily basis as hundreds of millions of tons of high explosives were set off every day over top of them. Well, some folks from Coal River Mountain Watch, led at that time by the indefatigable and indomitable Judy Bonds, walked up to the entrance of a coal processing plant not far from what was then Marsh Fork Elementary School, where the children were being poisoned and the teachers were being poisoned each and every day, and Joe didn't want to do anything about that either. We did eventually get a new school built away from the coal processing plant and out from under the shadow of the massive toxic waste sea of sludge and poison that hung over their heads every day of their young lives. That happened because we went and we found a foundation that was willing to provide partial funding to build the new school, and that shamed Joe Manchin into having to tell the school building authority to pony up some bucks. Up until then, he really wasn't interested in doing it, but suddenly we were making him look bad. But anyway, that particular day, Judy Bonds, Bo Webb, Vernon Haltom, who else? The NASA scientist, a brilliant, brilliant man. They all walked up, and they were all prepared to sit down and get arrested. Act of civil disobedience. James Hansen. One of those people who said, if we're going to do anything about climate change, we'd better by God do something about mountaintop removal as a first step. Bless his heart. Well, they all sat down there, and then a woman who was a friend of coal came barreling across the picket line and punched Judy right square in the side of the head. There was video of it. It was plain as day. There was no doubt that she did it. She didn't slip. It was intentional as hell. It was as clear a case of battery within the meaning of the laws of the state of West Virginia as one could ever hope to see, or not hope to see, for that matter. I mean, she slobber knocked Judy. Judy never had never even knew it was coming. Eventually, the state police had to break down and actually charge her with the crime, seeing as how they watched it happen, and so did a bunch of other people. And eventually, she was hailed in front of a magistrate there in that county and told, "Honey, don't you do that no more, okay? Now, I'm not going to impose a fine on you because all you did was hit one of them tree huggers, but you'll have to pay some court costs. Is that all right with you, sugar?" And told her to go and sin no more. Or the time that Larry Gibson, who is also no longer with us, who worked so hard to save a few acres on top of a blasted, blown-away mountain in Kanawha County, Kayford Mountain. Some of you have been there. I don't know if Michael and Madison's listening, but he was even at that picnic, or a picnic like it, one year. Larry hosted a 4th of July picnic every year up on Kayford. And one year there was a friend of Cole there who went absolutely hog wild and smashed and rubbed hot dogs all over his naked chest and had weird-ass white supremacy tattoos all over him. And he was caught on video doing the "I'm going to slit your throat" sign to a little 5 or 6 year old boy and his daddy who were peaceably attending the picnic. Once again, hell had to be raised on earth to get the guy to even be charged with making that threat against an unassuming, unoffending little boy. And when he was finally hailed in front of the magistrate said, "Now, honey, I'm not going to put you in jail, and I'm not going to give you no fine. I'm just going to impose the court costs, and don't you run around threatening to slit little boys' throats no more. You hear? Cole keeps the lights on." Or the time that Bo Webb was walking along the road down in Whitesville near the Dairy Queen there, and some Fockers tried to run him over with their vehicles. Agnes even has part of this story. There was a rally down at Marsh Fork Elementary School one day. We all went down. Kids were fairly young. And a Focker wife, a friend of Cole wife, who had her hands just covered in Walmart jewelry, you know, with protrusions and metal bits and pointy stuff. She slipped up behind Agnes and took both of her fists and tried to drive it through her kidney into her front, and then just sort of slipped away. And, well, she didn't even have to appear in front of a magistrate or get told not to do that no more. Then here closer to home one day, an Episcopal priest who is no longer with us and is sadly missed was leading an outdoor mass on a mountain that was soon to be blown to kingdom come, and that's when a small army of paid coal company protesters, all wearing the same shirts, "Save the Endangered Coal Miner," it came roaring around the corner on their four-wheelers. And I guess the leader of them ran right up to Father Roy Jean and began screaming his fool head off, shouting and carrying on at a priest who was in the middle of the mass, in the middle of praying, in the middle of communing with what he perceived to be the almighty creator of the universe. So when Joe says, "We don't do things like that in West Virginia," Joe's lying. What he means is, we don't do things like that in West Virginia if we think anybody's watching. God almighty. But Joe wants him some civility, and he thinks that Nancy Pelosi's in the wrong. On the other hand, I don't know that Julius Geezer would really like to be doing this thing, because for the first time, he would have to be doing it with Nancy Pelosi right over his shoulder behind him. And then when the response of the loyal opposition came, all she'd have to do is get out of her chair, step around, walk down to the podium, and make him listen while she tore him a new asshole. It could happen. It could really happen. But the whole point is that I give Joe Manchin a lot of shit because Joe Manchin quite frequently deserves a lot of shit. But that having been said, yesterday, when it came time to vote to maintain the sanctions on Oleg Deripaska and the other Russians that Trump wanted the sanctions lifted on, who knows why, son of a gun, if Joe didn't get it right. Every Democrat voted to maintain the sanctions on that Russian thug. Every Democrat. And there were 57 votes because 11 Republicans joined the Democrats in voting to try to keep the sanctions on the Russian thug. And but for one vote, it would have been two votes short instead of three. Again, I'm not trying to piss anybody off. But do you know who blew off the vote? Do you know who couldn't be bothered to show up to say no to a Russian thug who was involved in the meddling with our elections in 2016? Do you know? Maybe you do. I mean, this is a very knowledgeable radio community. Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders blew off that vote. Bernie Sanders didn't think it was worth his time. By way of an excuse, he said that he had to be at a previously scheduled meeting that was called by a bunch of the women who were relentlessly sexually harassed and abused during the course of his 2016 presidential campaign. And the meeting apparently went on for hours and hours and hours and hours. What kind of stymies me is the question of why he couldn't have said, well, y'all talk amongst yourselves. I got to go and do some Senate and business and cast a vote to try to protect this country against a Russian thug that Donald Trump wants to have the sanctions lifted on. Didn't do that. And even though the meeting went on all day, he was actually only at the meeting for a very short time. And I'd like to think that these people at this meeting, given the fact that they're having worked on a presidential campaign and volunteered and been paid, whatever, been an actual integral part of the campaign, understood the nature of the office that their candidate was seeking. I certainly thought he did. And would also understand the necessity that he go and do the job that the people of the state of Vermont sent him there to do. It would have been a great thing if we could have scrounged up two more Republicans. If we could have found two more Republicans with enough morals and enough scruples and enough ethics to stand up for their country in the face of a demand from the country that owns the president of the United States. Oh, by the way, you remember that you remember that op-ed from a couple of weeks ago by Bishop Willard Romney? And how he would be a bulwark and a voice for reason and sanity and yada yada, and he would not be afraid to take on Julius Geezer when Julius Geezer was wrong. Well, Utah's freshman junior senator, the newly minted Bishop Willard Romney senator, he got down and put his forehead on the dirt in front of Mitch McConnell and Julius Geezer and voted to voted to keep the sanctions on the Russian oligarch thug from being lifted. Well, that's as may be, Brother Deacon Asa. Oh, come on, Bob. You're so damn ponerized, your affliction can stretch from here to Moscow. Yeah. But that's the reality. I wish it wasn't. I wish Bernie had showed up. But, you know, this makes a couple of times when Bernie could have made a difference and decided that it just wasn't worth the effort. You may remember when the committee assignments were being passed out, Joe Manchin wanted to be the ranking member in the minority on the Senate Natural Resources Committee, Environment and Natural Resources. Bernie's on that committee, too. Bernie had the seniority to keep a man who is bought and paid for by the coal industry from having that extremely powerful seat. But Bernie said, nah, let's let Joe have it so that any climate change legislation that ever reaches the Senate can be killed by Joe Manchin. I take no joy in saying any of this. In fact, I go so far as to say it gives me a sad. But, doggone it, that's the reality of the situation. And hey, the filibobster has been going on for an hour now. Otto still needs a little company getting us down from that that 375 number. We can take it down a little bit at a time. 375 to 370, 370 to 360, 360 to 340, 340 to 325. But just kind of has to happen. What's that? Flavio says, Mitch McConnell found. That was kind of cute. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez started a hashtag last night, Where's Mitch? Running around the Senate side of the Capitol looking, trying to find Mitch McConnell to make him do his job. I suggested they go out and look in the basement of the headquarters of the National Ruble Association, not too far from D.C., out I-66, right there hard by the highway on in Fairfax. Seeing how he got a pocket full of dirty Russian money that was laundered through the NRA. Yeah. Ron and Raleigh with a note. I don't remember, perhaps I missed it, when Joe complained about Mitch McConnell and other Republicans. Turned out the lights and shut down the mics and hearing rooms during the Bush administration. The reason Bernie didn't sign on to the sanctions bill is because there was another round of sanctions against Iran, as in other Russian sanction bills. Well, Joe wasn't there in the Senate back then to complain about McConnell, you know, back during the Reign of Error. So, and frankly, even if there were other sanctions bills coming, that one had 11. That one had 11 Republicans willing to sign on to it. Never know what might have happened if he, you know, hell, if he'd leveraged his massive outreach base, no telling how many Republican senators could have had their arms twisted. Because 11 of them did figure out how to vote the right way on that bill. Now, I bet you some of them are in states where they might be a little bit, vulnerable in 2020. But that's politics. Meanwhile, going back to Agnes's suggestion about Haldol, note coming in from Todd, the Haldol vodka martini is greatly underrated. It is widely available at the Jill Stein think tank functions. Just saying. But watch out for the twitches. Yeah, in his waning days, they tried giving that to my father once, and I very patiently explained that they would never give that to him again because it made him just miserable. But for some people, maybe people like Julius Keeser, hey, it works great. Mm-hmm. But that's not by far, that is not all there is. Speaking of Chinless Mitch, he was out there doing the bidding of Mother Russia and their creature, Julius Geezer, again today. He blocked legislation today that would have opened most of the federal government, that is thus far curtailed by the shutdown. This was an effort by Tim Kaine over in Virginia. It would have reopened everything but the Department of Homeland Security, which is where the fight is over the stupid, ignorant, dumber-than-dirt boondoggle of a fucking wall. He asked for unanimous consent, Senator Kaine did, and Chinless Mitch, the creature, just said, "I object!" Yeah, and that was the end of that. Previously, Chinless Mitch had said, "The solution to this is a negotiation between the one person in the country who can sign something into law, the President of the United States, and our Democratic colleagues." That, of course, is another patented, bald-faced lie on the part of Chinless Mitch McConnell. Because while it is true that the usual and typical way that a bill becomes a law is for the House to pass a bill, the Senate to pass a bill, the bill goes to the president signs it into law. But the framers did take into account that since the Congress is absolutely co-equal as a branch of government to the chief executive, that there might come a day when Congress would think something was such a good idea that even if the president vetoed the bill, that they'd want to figure out a way to make it be law anyway. This is called a vote to override. And a bill that has been vetoed, and then that veto has been overridden by a two-thirds vote in both houses, well, that vote turns the bill into law, too. The one person in the country who can sign something into law. Uh-uh. The Congress can make something into a law, too, by overriding a petulant, septuagenarian toddler orange man-baby's tantrum as well. Mitch, you goddamn traitor. You un-American piece of shit. And so, for the third time, as of today, Mitch McConnell raised his quivering reptilian middle finger and waved it at 800,000-plus American citizens who are suffering on his account. And it's not even close anymore how long or the degree to which this is the longest government shutdown. Not even close. We're approaching one full month. Overnight, the other thing that happened, and I about laughed myself into a conniption when I heard this. But Cardi B is I don't have to tell you who Cardi B is, but she put a video up on Instagram about her feelings regarding the shutdown, her understanding of it. And for a while there was a back and forth between Chris Murphy of Connecticut and Brian Schatz of Hawaii, who are somewhat youngish members of the Senate, trying to decide whether or not to retweet what Cardi B said about the shutdown. Ultimately, they decided not to, but only after the whole country had seen it because of the ongoing back-and-forth dialogue on Twitter about it. But ultimately, they said they decided it would be unsenatorial for them to retweet it. Well, this is it.
Hey, y'all. I just want to remind y'all, because it's been a little bit over 3 weeks, okay? It's been a little bit over 3 weeks. Trump is now ordering, as in summoning, federal government workers to go back to work without getting paid. Now, I don't want to hear y'all motherfuckers talking about, oh, but Obama shut down the government for 17 days. Yeah, bitch. For health care, so your grandma could check her blood pressure, and you bitches could go check your pussy in the gynecologist with no motherfucking problem. Now, I know a lot of y'all don't care because y'all don't work for the government, or y'all probably don't even have a job, but this shit is really fucking serious, bro. This shit is crazy. Like, our country is in a hellhole right now, all for a fucking war. Like, we really need to take this serious. I feel like we need to take some action. I don't know what type of action, bitch, because this is not what I do, but bitch, I'm scared. This is crazy, and I really feel bad for these people that gotta go to fucking work to not get motherfucking paid.
That is some unvarnished truth. And when she comes around to say, I'm scared, sounds like she means it, doesn't it? And in her life, she has lived in some sketchy circumstances. And she knows what it means to not get paid. And so she speaks from the heart about that. And she's right, yeah, about health care, the last one. But that was... What I found delightful out of it is today it made the rounds of the for-profit multimillionaire media, at which point one of the well-coiffed talking heads said,
"Well, Bill, this shows that it's no longer an inside the D.C. bubble issue. This has become a national issue." And I thought, Jesus, jumping Christ, you are that divorced from reality that you didn't think it was a real national issue, even though it affected 800,000 of your fellow citizens who most assuredly are not all in Washington, D.C.? Now it's a national issue? Now?
Yeah, her clip provided a real challenge to the folks there who were trying not to, get one of those $475,000 fines from the Funky Communications Commission. And you're absolutely right, Brother Deacon Asa. Incidentally, Cardi B's oratory skills are sixfold better than the actual President of the United States. Truth that, too. And, you know, there's a couple of other things along the way that we will get to here in a little bit. Just by way of a reminder, we have the Green News coming up, courtesy of Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen. I look forward to Tuesdays and Thursdays for that reason. But before we go to anything resembling a break, and it's not really a break because I'm sitting here listening, you're sitting there listening, nobody's really going anywhere. There's another little moment of what the fuckery. And this is a real thorn in the side. Because the degree to which the people creating this stink couldn't even be bothered to find out what was said is kind of astonishing. It begins with a tweet by a dude named Tom Elliott. You remember a few weeks back when we ran the clip of the ha 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 yuck fest by an outfit called Grabien, G-R-A-B-I-E-N? Well, this guy is the founder and editor there. By ha 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 yuck fest, I mean there was nothing funny about it whatsoever. So he tweets the following. And it has to do with a clip of Representative Ilhan Omar of Minnesota talking about something that is much on the mind of a whole lot of people in this country. The hell is wrong with Lindsey Graham? The guy said that Trump would be the death of the Republican Party. He said he had no business being president. And now he's got his nose so far up Trump's fundament that you can see his smiling face every time that Trump yawns. Now, here's where the trouble comes in. This Tom Elliott creature tweets the following. Representative Omar, lots of Americans agree with me that Trump is blackmailing Senator Graham over his homosexuality. Now, there are a lot of jokes out there at Lindsey's expense. But they are not jokes about it. If the man came out and said, I am gay, 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 you know what every every Democrat in the country would say? Good for you. The closet's a shitty place to live. Welcome to the world, Lindsey. Love and be loved. Because it's not about whether he's gay or not. It's about the hypocrisy. It's always about the hypocrisy. But I'm going to play you the clip that this Tom Elliott guy put out. And I want you to listen for the point where Representative Ilhan Omar suggests that Donald Trump is blackmailing Senator Graham over his homosexuality. I just want you to listen for the moment when she says anything even remotely resembling those words. Ready? Okay.
The message about the kind of inclusive societies we could all live in.
Well, positive one. We need to ask you about this. You tweeted, we're going to put this up on the screen, regarding Republican Congressman Senator Lindsey Graham. I believe we have this tweet saying they got him. He is compromised.
They got him. He's compromised. By the way, this is a conversation over on CNN. Just so you know, this isn't Fox. Tweeting, they got him. He's compromised. Back to you, Fred.
And there it is. I wonder if you'd explain what you were talking about there. That this has sparked a fair amount of criticism, not just from Republicans. Can you explain that comment?
Not just from Republicans. Before we get the explanation, who would be the other people criticizing her for saying that he appears to be compromised? Oh, wait, is it some of those members of the Problem Solvers Caucus? Did Joe Manchin get a sad again?
So over the last 3 years, we have seen many times where Senator Lindsey Graham has told us how dangerous this president could be if he was given the opportunity to be in the White House. And all of a sudden, he's made not only a 180 turnaround, but a 360 turnaround. And so I am pretty sure that there is something happening with him, whether it is, something that has to do with his funding when it comes to running for office, whether it has something to do with the polling that they might have in his district, or whether it has to do with some sort of leadership within the Senate.
Okay, just to be clear, she says maybe it has to do with his funding, maybe it has to do with leadership. You're keeping track, right? I know you are.
He is somehow compromised to no longer stand up for the truth to make sure that he is fighting to protect the oath that he took in serving the American people.
But that's quite a charge to make. You say you're pretty sure. Based on what evidence? What facts? That's a remarkable comment to make about a sitting U.S. senator.
Why is it remarkable, Fred? Play the clips side by side, Fred. Play him saying that Donald Trump is unqualified to be president of the United States. Play the clip of Lindsey Graham saying that Donald Trump will be the death of the Republican Party, Fred. And then play the clips of newer Lindsey Graham sticking his nose up Julius Geezer's fundament. Play him. And then ask again how extraordinary it is to wonder what the hell they've got on him.
The The evidence really is present to us. It's being presented to us in the way that he's behaving.
In other words, his actions are speaking quite loudly about the fact that he has somehow been coerced into Julius Geezer's orbit.
That's not evidence. That's your opinion. But...
Yes, Sally, that's not evidence.
Actually, it is evidence. You play those clips side by side and it becomes abundantly clear something has happened to Lindsey Graham.
That's not evidence.
But now, as a sitting member of Congress, you would have tweeted, they got him on this. Again, just based on what evidence, Congresswoman?
My tweet was just an opinion based on what I believe to be visible to me, and I'm pretty sure there are lots of Americans who agree on this.
Absolutely, there are. Because, again, we've seen it in real time. But if you recall what I asked when I began playing the clip, I said, find the moment where she even vaguely refers to, I mean, it, at all, infers, whatever, that it has anything to do with Lindsey Graham's sexuality. Well, I'll go ahead and give away the answer. The answer is zero, none, nada, niente, nil, nicht. She didn't say it in the tweet, and she didn't say it in the interview. But nonetheless, Tom Elliott said, Representative Omar, lots of Americans agree with me that Trump is blackmailing Senator Graham over his homosexuality. And that's just a goddamned lie. I mean, it's not even nuanced. There's no shading there. There's not a point over which reasonable people could differ. When he was called out, this guy said, well, yes, Representative Omar hasn't explicitly said Graham's sexuality is the blackmail being used against him. But as everyone in D.C. knows, in other words, as I'm saying and cannot point to any actual evidence, this is the rumor circulated about Graham. So saying he's compromised achieves this purpose. No reason to give her a pass for dog whistling. Yeah, no. Because the fact of the matter is, and nobody really points this out, Lindsey Graham, in the 2016 election cycle, when there was, we know, a money laundering operation ongoing to clear Russian money through the NRA into the American electoral process, a thing that is patently illegal, and you would think the incoming chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee would, you know that. Well, it turns out that if you look at the NRA donations to the members of the South Carolina delegation, Lindsey Graham received more than twice as much money, to the tune of almost $100,000, almost twice as much, maybe more than twice as much money, as any other member of the South Carolina delegation from the NRA. Some of them was likely rubles. Mm-hmm. And then S.E. Cup did the same thing.
saying this is a really bad look for Democrats.
And she did it by retweeting the Elliott dude's original lie. So in other words, she adopted Tom Elliott's lie and embraced it and made it her own. This is something you can file under really bad journalism. But of course, Ilhan Omar wears a hijab, so we can have a sure enough, no kidding, full on plum hissy about it. Oh, never mind the fact that, by the way, there's a political official down Florida way. Dateline Fort Lauderdale, a member of the commission there from Hallandale Beach, Commissioner Annabelle Lima Taub, a Republican, of course, who ran off to Facebook the minute that Representative Rashida Tlaib said, "We're going to impeach the motherfucker." Well, she ran out to Facebook and said that, and she referred to a petition to remove Rashida Tlaib from the House of Representatives. She posted, Annabelle Lima Taub did,
"Proudly signed. A Hamas-loving anti-Semite has no place in government. She is a danger, and I'd not put it past her to become a martyr and blow up Capitol Hill."
And then you, here's the happy part of the story. A member of the commission by the name of Michelle Lazaro, who is also Jewish, like Annabelle Lima Taub is, said she's going to pursue a public reprimand of Annabelle Lima Taub for her anti-Muslim bigotry, because she suggests the commissioner created a hostile environment for the city's Muslim community, which is not insubstantial. Over at the group Muslim Advocates, Scott Simpson said, "There is no religious litmus test to hold public office in the United States, and any politician who would spout this kind of vile anti-Muslim rhetoric is clearly not fit to govern." January 23rd, Michelle Lazaro's request for public censure will be considered by the commission. She pushed the issue, saying, "While individual commissioners have spoken out against Commissioner Lima Taub's hateful and bigoted remarks, I believe we need to take action as a city. We must send a message to our community that this behavior will not be tolerated." It's a five-member commission. Commissioner Lazaro will probably not be able to muster the votes to get her reprimanded. I'm sorry. She's likely to have enough votes to get the reprimand. Because the vice mayor Sabrina Haviana and Commissioner Michael Butler have also stood alongside Commissioner Lazaro in calling out the bigotry of Commissioner Lima Taub. Wilfredo Ruiz of the Florida chapter of the Council on American Islamic Relations said, "CARE Florida strongly condemns the disgraceful racist and Islamophobic statements published by Commissioner Annabelle Lima Taub. Her un-American, xenophobic statements establish that she is unfit to hold the commissioner's seat. She must apologize immediately and follow up with her resignation. And a note coming in from Darlene in Connecticut. Yeah, that interview really aggravated me. Fred and Poppy aren't fit to be sitting in those chairs. CNN is mostly about speculation and opinion. Well, sadly, I think a lot of it is. I'm old enough to remember when reporters who were arguably subject matter experts would do stand-ups and try to explain what was going on in the world. Now, most of the 24-hour news cycle, regardless of the channel you're looking at, is made up of people the number of ex-Republican office holders on MSNBC is just stunning, who sit there and guess and speculate. Does Mueller have this? Does Mueller have that? Is it too big? Is it too small? Will the girls like it? Right. There's never a bad time for a Monty Python Life of Brian reference. So I think I've at least demonstrated that there is a goodly bundle of thorns for us to deal with and talk about during the remainder of the program. If you're on hold, please stay there. By the way, the Skype line is open, Skype to Skype, or 304-574-8178. We'll find out who's on the stress line momentarily. But first, we will check in with the Green News Report. And hopefully, maybe in the interim, we'll knock down the fundraising hole from 375 to something smaller than that. And go from there. This is listener-supported conversation radio. If you want to help out, just run over to head-on.live and click the PayPal button. Otherwise, just go to PayPal and use bobkincaid@gmail.com as the recipient address. And hopefully we won't be talking about $575 tomorrow evening for Friday on the Front Porch. Enjoy the Green News Report. I know I will.
It's Thursday, January 17, 2019.
The president has said that climate change is a hoax. Do you agree with him?
Senate Democrats grill Trump EPA chief nominee in confirmation hearing.
Exactly how hot are we talking? Well, I mean really hot.
Historic heat wave grips Australia. EPA criminal actions against polluters hit 30-year low. Plus,
all of this is for real. But nobody has done enough planning.
The business world is waking up to climate change impacts.
All of those wake-up calls and more straight ahead. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
It's not binary. It's not effed or not effed. It's a matter of how effed.
Dr. Michael E. Mann, climate scientist, working blue. The heat must be getting to him. This is your Green News Report. I'm gonna soak up the sun. Okay, Desi Doyen, another January, another code red heat emergency down in Australia?
Yes, literally. Australia's National Weather Service this week issued its highest level alert to warn public welfare agencies to act quickly to protect vulnerable populations during what is an extreme historic heat wave that's blasting most of the country over the past 2 weeks. It's broken all-time high temperature records for both day and overnight, with temperatures in some areas topping 120 degrees Fahrenheit.
And have the record bushfires started yet?
Oh, yes, they have. Mm. Meanwhile, down at the South Pole, Antarctica's ice sheets are melting faster than previously thought and are accelerating sea level rise. Scientists publishing in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences found that warming ocean waters drove a 600% increase in annual ice loss from the East Antarctica ice sheet since 1979. The scientists called acceleration of the ice melt a clear indication of man-made climate change.
Yeah. The right-wingers on Fox News, the climate deniers, have all been telling me that, sure, we may be losing ice in the Arctic, but the Antarctic is actually gaining ice. Not so?
Not so much.
Imagine that.
Surprise! The Environmental Protection Agency's mission of enforcement actions against polluters has fallen to a 30-year low under the Trump administration.
Shocking.
That's according to a new report released this week by watchdog group PEER, Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility. Based on Justice Department data, the number of pollution cases that the EPA referred for criminal prosecution hasn't been this low since the Reagan administration. Peer's executive director told the Associated Press, quote, "We're reaching levels where the enforcement program is lacking a pulse."
Great. No more government tyranny.
Meanwhile, the EPA's failure to enforce pollution laws was a hot topic for Democrats in the Senate confirmation hearing this week for former coal lobbyist Andrew Wheeler, who took over as acting chief of the EPA after Scott Pruitt resigned amid a flood of scandals. Senate Republicans praised Wheeler, but Democrats grilled him on the Trump EPA's rollbacks of pollution standards and U.S. climate policy. Wheeler testified he doesn't think man-made climate change is a hoax, but it's not a top concern. Here's his exchange with Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont.
The president has said that climate change is a hoax. Do you agree with him?
I've not used the hoax word myself.
I see. Scientific community has said that climate change is one of the great crises facing our planet. There will be irreparable damage in the United States and in virtually every country on Earth. Do you agree with the scientific community?
I would not call it the greatest crisis, no, sir. I consider it a huge issue that has to be addressed globally.
Wheeler's confirmation is all but assured in the Republican-controlled Senate.
So is this guy ultimately any better than Scott Pruitt, or is he just as bad or potentially even worse?
Potentially even worse. As a longtime lobbyist, he knows how to navigate the system.
And yet still as much of a denier.
Finally, some good-ish news. The business world is waking up to the dangers posed by man-made climate change and extreme weather. In a survey by the annual World Economic Forum in Davos this week, CEOs and investors ranked the effects of climate change as the top three risks they're most likely to face in 2019, from extreme weather, damaged infrastructure, and migration caused by disasters. On a recent broadcast, LA Times business columnist Michael Hilczyk referenced the pending bankruptcy of PG&E, California's largest electric utility after catastrophic wildfires, as a warning to the business community.
These are risks that we have to have a broader discussion about, how to manage them, and there are risks and there are opportunities in climate change together. So all of this is for real, but nobody has done enough planning up to this point.
Nobody has, and yet here we sit. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Don't forget, you can download our reports anytime via Stitcher, TuneIn, iTunes, or Google Play. Find us, follow us, and share us planet-wide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Alrighty then. No, not much happened during the Green News Report. So we're still looking at $375 to come even with this evening, and $575 to get done with the week. Someone has been very, very patient over on the stress line. Let's find out who. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, it's me, Randy from the Decatur, Georgia, once again. So happy Thursday night to you too, man. So how do you feel about what Donald Trump said about Nancy Pelosi about canceling her trip after she wanted him to postpone his State of the Union address for next week.
Well, I think I made it fairly clear at the beginning of the program that came off very poorly, and it's a temper tantrum on his part. He's behaving like a septuagenarian orange man baby.
Yeah, well, I just hope that, you know, you don't want, like I said, I hope this doesn't last for a year. I mean, I'm talking about the government shutdown, or forever, if they can help it. There's got to be some way around to circumvent this, shall we say, shutdown. You know, surpass him and reopen the government.
No, there isn't. I mean, let's just be abundantly clear about that. No, there isn't.
There is not. Well,
I mean, you. Okay. Look, I mean, here. Let me modify that a little bit. As long as Mitch McConnell remains a traitor to the United States,
right?
As long as he continues to do the bidding of Donald Trump, who is a traitor to the United States,
right?
Then there's no way around it. If, on the other hand, Mitch McConnell would allow the Senate to vote on the exact same identical bill that the Senate voted on and approved before the 115th Congress dropped dead in December,
right.
then it would be a different matter.
Right.
Because then the bill could be passed through the House, passed through the Senate, sent to the president's desk, and if he chose to veto it, then it would come back to both houses and an effort could be made to override the veto and reopen the government.
Right. But we got to do something, like I said before, Bob. And I'm so sick and tired. No, I'm so damn sick and tired of people accusing Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats for being in Puerto Rico instead of sitting down with Trump for lunch or for lunch to talk about this. I don't know what they were doing, but I don't think they were in Puerto Rico having fun living it up. I think they were doing other things. But, you know, Fox News and of course, conservative right-wing hate talk radio, like I said, you're gaining those were running with that meme for the past, I don't know, about a week. You know?
Well, I mean, are you aware of something that could be done to make them reopen that I'm not?
No, I'm not, Bob. I just wish all of this was a nightmare or a dream, because in reality, man.
Well, look, we have to understand the nature and the character of Donald Trump in order to get a handle on what this thing is all about.
Right.
For instance, there was a story within the last 48 hours of a conversation that was had, I think, back in September, in which he screamed that he did not want a goddamn dime to go to hurricane relief in Puerto Rico.
Right. Yeah, I wonder what happened with that. I wonder exactly what happened with that. Did he backtrack on that one, too?
Well, I mean, he just has these tantrums on a daily basis. That's why he's a septuagenarian orange man baby.
And nobody's there to control or stop him. I guess they're afraid of him. They're afraid to encourage his wrath.
They're not afraid of him, Reggie. They're afraid. They are afraid of his cult. Okay? If you live in Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, Tennessee, Arkansas, Louisiana, Texas, North or South Carolina, Kentucky, parts of Virginia, parts of Ohio, Indiana, et cetera, you know, the places where his maggots are most thoroughly infested.
Right.
Then if you cross him, somebody will primary your ass from the neo-Nazi Klansman Republican far maggot right. And these incumbent Republicans want to keep their jobs. They can't bear the thought of doing something that would get them removed by the voters. They don't have the courage of, say,
a Heidi Heitkamp who did the right thing in regard to Brett Kavanaugh.
Right.
And said, well, you know, whatever, you know, whatever with, you know, whatever happens to me in terms of the election, I have to do what is right by my conscience and what is right by my country. There, Republicans, generally speaking, cannot and will not do that.
Right. You mean like killing Mitch McConnell, right? The turtle boy? Right. He's afraid of losing his job too as well, Bob?
No, he's compromised. He's compromised. I was talking about the nearly $100,000 that Lindsey Graham got from the NRA in 2016. Well, over the course of his career, Chinless Mitch has gotten probably something close to $2 million NRA dollars.
Oh man.
And he didn't just get a drop in the bucket in 2016. So when you there's a little speculation involved here, I freely acknowledge it. But when you take the money that people like Graham and McConnell received from the NRA, and when you consider the fact that the Russians hacked both the DNC and the RNC, but they only made the DNC emails public. Wow, right. What the heck was that noise? When you take those things and you then consider that the Russians held on to the RNC emails so that they've got the compromising information, but we don't, then between the Russian money through the NRA and the RNC emails being in the possession of the Russian government, you got a pretty good idea of what the hell is going on with people like Lindsey Graham and Mitch McConnell.
Yeah. Right. So what do you think about Steve King? You know, the guy, the racist guy, who was, shall we say, fired. What do you think about his racist comments?
Well, he wasn't fired. He's still in the House. He's going to stay in the House. He'll run for re-election of the House.
Yeah.
And the people of his district will return him to the House.
Right.
And if they couldn't, and if he was to resign, Reggie, the people of his district would find somebody who is an even bigger racist than he is.
Right. So we got to get rid of these racists bigger than old white people. I mean, old white men in particular. And if they stay put up in there, you know.
And remember, Steve Cantaloupe's King's bosom buddy, Louis Asparagus Gohmert, down in the First District of Texas, he ran out in defense of Steve and said, well, my good friend Steve King made some good points.
And do you know who else defended him? Our good old friend Tucker Carlson and Meghan McCain, who said that she is her father's daughter. And her father's been dead about a year. What does her father have to do with, you know, being with racism?
Well, I don't know. As Carol Baker pointed out the other night, he voted repeatedly against the Martin Luther King Jr. national holiday. John McCain did.
Yeah. But why is she always bringing up his name? And it's all about us and coming and bringing up. And making
well, because she's gonna ride. She's trying to ride his dead ass into some money.
Yeah, and they called her out on it, and she was offensive. Defensive when people were saying it about Steve King and that he should be ousted.
Oh, hell, I can't remember whether it was at the Washington Post or the New York Times who declared that King's remarks were not to be described as racist remarks.
That's what Tucker Carlson said. And so what are they supposed to be described as other than racist?
I mean, no, that was either the Times or the Washington Post. That wasn't Tucker. I mean, I don't know what Tucker Carlson did. But that was an editorial decision by a massive, major American newspaper. Oh, no, we don't want to give Steve King a sad and say that he's racist.
Yeah, that's true. But they already did, in a way, indirectly. And he was on some conservative talk show defending himself about that. And it was blasting other Republicans for wanting him out and wanting to oust him. And he wanted to... He was going after the media, too. No, wait a minute. That was Tucker Carlson going after The View and the media, saying, what did they know on The View about racism? Well, let me see. There's two people on there who are, like, black.
I don't even think Reggie, I don't even think they're like black. I think they're actually black.
Yeah, they are. Especially Whoopi Goldberg. I mean, she's definitely black. And yes, she of course would know. She would absolutely. I mean, she absolutely. Her and Sonny Hostin would absolutely know a whole lot about racism because they've been through it. Especially Whoopi Goldberg. But you got idiots like Tucker saying. Writing them off the view, how would they know about racism? But there's two people that are black. I think they would know something about that, Tucker. Maybe it's because you guys on Fox don't know anything about anything. About anything, period. You live in an alternate opposite world, right? I live in an alternate universe, just like Trump and Steve King, right? And even Meghan McCain, who says she's not a Trump supporter, but she is. What do you think about that, Bob?
Hey, I expect, it's Reggie, nice. I expect Republicans to do Republican things.
Yeah, so do I. We don't expect them to change now, do we, Bob?
Tigers do not change. Listen very carefully, Reggie. Tigers do not change their spots, or tigers do not change their stripes. And neither do skunks.
Yeah, and leopards don't change their spots, you know. So, and you know, I hope that Nancy Pelosi stays strong and firm against his quote unquote border wall or his money for the border wall, which won't do anything. And I saw a clip on Fox News with Leslie Marshall saying that walls are ineffective because you know they can dig tunnels to get into this country, right? Like they've done before, and she had three Republican idiots saying that walls do work, and she said no, they don't work. But she was going one liberal progressive, half Jewish, half Italian woman going against three male Republicans, and they all shouted her down when she said that. They all talked over her when she said that. I mean, I don't know why she let them get away with it. I don't like it when they do that to her. I mean, she never interrupted them when they're speaking. I mean, it's like they can do it, but we can't. You know what I mean, Bob?
Well,
she's
yeah.
Only 5'2". And she's only 5'2", man. And that's not right.
Well, I've got another story tucked away here that you may find interesting if you keep listening after we hang up, because this crap's going to go on. It's going to keep going on.
Forever, Bob, or just until the end of time itself?
Racism, God, it feels awfully, it feels baked in, and all the people who aren't Republicans can do is call it out when they see it and try to live, and try to, what, live in such a way as to show others how not to be. This country, if it has not been irretrievably damaged by the time we get rid of him, this country will become at least a marginally better place if we can get rid of Donald Trump and replace him with a Democrat.
Wait, what about all the Republican judges on the circuit court?
Well, those have to be dealt with. And in fact, there's another Trump nominee out there who is, and I don't understand what it is with these people when they're in law school. They feel like they can only get a name by writing something hateful and inflammatory.
Right.
Trump has nominated a woman named Naomi Rao to sit on the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia.
Right.
Now, she's not a judge. She's not a judge. She's never previously served as a judge.
Right.
At the moment, she's the head of the White House Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs.
Right. Right.
Politico says that she's also on Trump's short list if he gets to fill another vacancy.
Right.
Well, back when she was at Yale University,
mm-hmm.
she wrote things. For instance, in October 1994 for the Yale Herald, she wrote in something called Shades of Gray, she talked about hysteria over date rape.
Right.
And she said, a good way to avoid potential date rape is to stay reasonably sober. Unless someone made her drinks undetectably strong or forced them down her throat, a woman, like a man, decides when and how much to drink. And if she drinks to the point where she can no longer choose, well, getting to that point was part of her choice. Implying that a drunk woman has no control of her actions, but that a drunk man does, strips women of all moral responsibility.
But that's no excuse for rape, period.
No, it's not.
A woman
decides to have a few, therefore she's open for rape. No. That's just evil. And apparently this woman is. In April 1993, she wrote something called The Feminist Dilemma. She said she agreed with a woman by the name of Camille Paglia and said that Paglia accurately describes the dangerous feminist idealism which teaches women that they are equal. Women believe falsely that they should be able to go anywhere with anyone. Although I'm certainly not arguing that date rape victims ask for it, when playing the modern dating game, women have to understand and accept the consequences of their sexuality. Some feminists chant that women should be free to wear short skirts or bright lipstick, but true sexual signals lie beyond these blatant signs. And that's just on women. She doesn't just despise her own gender. She also despises, well, you know, race, because always, you know, anytime with any sort of Trump nominee, there's always going to be a racist angle.
What did happen to her?
Let's find the quote. She said, it should come as no surprise. Over the past decades, Yale has dedicated itself to a relatively firm meritocracy, which drops its standards only for a few minorities, some legacies, and a football player or two.
Right. And how do you feel about ex-politicians being contributors and commentators on, like, MSNBC or NBC, CNN, NBC, MSNBC, and whatnot? I'm talking about Claire McCaskill and whatnot. You know, ex-politicians being full-time commentators and contributors. How do you feel about that, Bob? How exactly do you feel about that, Bob?
What do you mean, how exactly do I feel?
I mean, how do you feel about them being on CNBC, MSNBC, CNN as full-time contributors and commentators, Republicans, I mean?
Well, I think I remarked on that toward the earlier part of the program, didn't I?
Well, I didn't hear you earlier, man.
Today on Morning Joe, they introduced their new contributing correspondent, former Republican member of the House who got beaten in the 2018 blue wave, Carlos Curbelo. And it's like, okay. Your job qualification is that you got beat in an election?
Yeah, I guess. But then you hire some real journalists who know exactly what they're doing and what they're talking about, not ex-politicians.
Well, journalists cost money. I mean, so do ex-politicians. But ex-politicians, yeah. I guess, lend some sort of a cachet of access or special knowledge.
Right. But you don't want to hire idiots, do you? You don't want them hiring idiots, going out hiring idiots, do you?
Okay. If Steve King were to resign from the House, he would be snapped up as a contributor by Fox News so fast your head would spin. They'd probably let him show up wearing his Kleagle hood.
Right. That's true. But, you know, we're giving these people platforms and voices and microphones and cameras to spill out their bigoted, evil, racist hatred of anything, on anyone and everyone who's not them at all.
Maybe they hate themselves on the inside. I don't know. That is the truth, I suppose, Bob.
Well, see, that calls on us to engage in some pretty high-flying speculation, so it's probably just as best we don't.
Right. That's true. And you said that you used to hire journalists, true journalists, who didn't speculate. They did their job in reporting and investigating the news. Now they just sit up there and speculate, and you got those female reporters who are simply up there for eye candy. I hate to sound sexist, but that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, I'm kind of careful of that, too. I mean, I've talked about Fox attack blondes, but that's because Fox has a pattern and practice of hiring right-wing attack blondes.
Right. But there's some brunettes up there, too, Bob.
Yeah, well, a couple or three, yeah.
Yeah, possibly a redhead, too, but like you said, most of them are attack blondes, right?
Well, if I gotta be careful because I don't want to say anything untoward. I don't want to unintentionally say something ugly.
Right. I'm just saying that they just got them up there for eye candy, and they got those idiots up there. You know, like Greg Gutfeld, who they're pissed off over this shaving commercial. They're pissed off at that. You heard about that Gillette commercial?
No. I've seen the commercial. It's a perfectly lovely commercial. And yeah, so, because maggots are going to, maggots going to maggot. So they've been running around trying to, and it's tough on them because they have to find it out the hard way. They've been trying to flush their Gillette razors down the toilet. And then they find out the Gillette razor won't flush down the toilet. So then they have to reach into the toilet and take out their toilet water soaked Gillette razors and throw them away or something. So I have this delightful mental image of some maggot, some infuriated maggot. I'm gonna have to reach in the potty.
Yeah, because you got Fox News bitching about it. I'm sure you had Rush Limbaugh bitching about it, and Dana Loesch herself was also bitching about it. Because he said that it was attacking men, It was attacking men. Because she's a mother to boys, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
She's a household of men. She has two boys and a husband. That's three guys. And she's the only woman, lone woman in the house. Housewife and mother. But she's saying it's attacking men, saying that all men have toxic masculinity in them, was born with them. Fox News said that too, with Greg Gutfeld and the rest of them. What do you say about that, Bob? How do you feel about that, Bob?
My feelings, Reggie, really don't matter. I try to deal in facts here.
Yeah, exactly. But then they're attacking people over nothing, just like they're attacking Alexandria Cortez over nothing. I said this to you before, man. Why are they picking on this young woman?
Well, because she is young, brilliant, and brown, and that threatens the hell out of them.
There's something about, they probably wish they could be like her or think like her. They probably wish they had her intellect, Is there something about her that's destroying them from within or destroying their...
Oh, yeah. No. It drives them crazy. Because she's got 1.5 million followers on Twitter or some insane number.
Yeah.
And she can unleash Twitter hell on any member of Congress that she chooses.
Right. Yeah, they keep coming after her like they've done. She destroyed Scott Walker, Sean Hannity, and the rest of them.
Oh, she had that was almost an unfair fight. That's one of those where the referee comes in and just waves it off and declares the TKO what she did to Scott Walker. That was just pathetic.
Right.
That wasn't even fair.
Johnson destroyed Ben Shapiro, too, right?
Yeah, that doesn't take a lot, though. Yeah.
And Sean Hannity, too, and everybody else who stood in her way or was opposed to her. She just stomped on over them, you know what I mean?
Yep.
She caught them underneath her feet.
She cut them off at the knees and then kicked their asses for being short. Hey, Reggie, I got to get out of here, man. We're going to make a little room for some other folks to jump in. I appreciate it, man. Have a good evening.
Yeah, you do too, Bob, and don't work too hard and keep warm, okay?
All right, we'll do. It's not too bad in here now, but, man, it's going to get brutal this weekend. We're looking for an overnight low of 4. Meanwhile, the people in places like North Dakota and Minnesota and Wisconsin are going, oh, fuck you, Bob, really? You big old sissy.
I hope you and yours keep warm, man.
Thank you, Reggie. You take care now.
Yeah, you do too, Bob.
Later. Bye now.
Bye.
And that's our buddy Reggie calling from Decatur. Both lines are open now if you want to get involved in the conversation, 304-574-8178. Or toll-free from anywhere on the, anywhere in the United States, Mexico, or Canada. Still looking for our first call from Mexico. 844-843-4676. 844-THE-HORN. If you don't need us to pay the long-distance freight, then 304-640-2829 gets you right through. So all of that is wide open. You know, when I was watching the William Barr confirmation hearings, which were their own particular brand of horror show, and he talked about how the Barr family is and has been dear friends with the Mueller family, and I have no doubt of that. I mean, they're from the same generation. They've worked in government. They've worked in the same basic field. And they're pretty high up on the food chain. It almost stands to reason that they'd be friends. Mueller was director of the FBI. Barr was the Attorney General of the United States. Reporting over at CNN, Caitlin Collins said today that she had spoken with 3 different sources who were present during the Barr confirmation hearings when William Barr started talking about what good friends the Barrs and the Mullers are. She said, and I quote, "We are learning from sources that the president was startled as he watched Bill Barr testify in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee and describing the warm relationship he has with Special Counsel Robert Mueller. Trump didn't like that. He was complaining to aides, saying he didn't know how close they were and he didn't know how much their work had overlapped previously." Then, according to Caitlin Collins, the president calmed down from being so upset about the new details. I don't know, they stuck his binky in his mouth or something, that emerged during the hearing. He said, "Bill Barr and Robert Mueller are part of the Washington..." Wait, this is a Trump quote. "Bill Barr and Robert Mueller are part of the Washington establishment. That's why they have this relation going on." But that's never the end of a Trump grievance. They're part of the swamp. They're just part of the swamp. So now, the spirochetes are probably itching a little bit. And wondering if Bill Barr is going to secretly put the legal equivalent of the shiv between his ribs. That's just more stress. That's just a few more points on his blood pressure. You never know. Maybe Barron's going to wind up having to scratch him on his other hand, too. Yeah. Some of the stuff that Reggie brought up is worth talking about. Well, of course. They kind of extend from what Reggie was talking about. Let's run down to Mississippi goddamn real quick, where they had a little oopsie this morning. The Mississippi Department of Revenue sent out a tweet. They've deleted it,
But the internet is forever. So everybody who wants to can see the at MS Depth of Revenue tweet that reads, "Holiday FYI, we are closed," and says, "In honor of General Robert E. Lee's birthday and Martin Luther King Jr. Day, we will be closed on Monday, January 21st. No, really? Yeah, it's true. And here's the funny part. Robert E. Lee's birthday isn't even an official holiday in the state of Mississippi, Stan. That's just, yeah, maggot's gonna maggot. I said that a minute ago, didn't I? MAGA, Moscow Assets Governing America. MAGA. They got caught. And so they took the tweet down. But a dog whistle is a dog whistle is a dog whistle is a dog whistle. See, this is what makes it's damn near impossible. Like I said, it's damn near impossible to keep up. By the way, we had a note from Darlene in Connecticut. Subject line, that pisses me off. It's because of women like her that we still don't have the ERA. This Naomi, the new, the Trump nominee. I'd like to see statistics on how many or how often drunk men are raped by women. Was that drunk Kavanaugh ever taken advantage of or gang raped by a line of college women outside the door of some bedroom he was passed out at in a college party when he was masquerading as a student at Yale? I highly doubt it, says Darlene. Women don't even think to do that kind of criminal activity. Yeah, no, I'd say you'd probably have to have a scanning electron microscope to find the percentage of men to whom that happens. But she really is. She's toxic as hell. See if I can find the story again, because there's more details there. Let's see if this gets us where we want to be. Yeah, again, her name is Naomi Rao. And she's particularly disgusted with, quote, touchy-feely talk of tolerance. Because it's all touchy-feely if you feel like maybe the Klan shouldn't be burning crosses in somebody's yard. That's, yeah, touchy-feely. What else? She wrote a book review in 1995 for the Yale Free Press. The name of the book was In Defense of Elitism. She said, "In this age of affirmative action, women's rights, special rights for the handicapped, and welfare for the indigent and lazy, elitism is a forgotten and embarrassing concept. In our new feel-good era, everybody's okay, and political and academic standards can adjust to accommodate anyone." And as a woman who identifies as Asian Indian, well, she wanted to make sure that the people she was hoping would someday employ her knew that she wasn't going to get all uppity about it. Back in 1994, writing for the then Mooney-owned, really, it was owned by Reverend Sun Myung Moon, Washington Times, she said, "The multiculturalists are not simply after political reform. Underneath their touchy-feely talk of tolerance, they seek to undermine American culture. They argue that culture, society, and politics have been defined and presumably defiled by white male heterosexuals hostile to their way of life. For example, homosexuals want to redefine marriage and parenthood. Feminists in women's studies programs want to replace so-called male rationality with more sensitive responses common to women. It may be kinder and gentler, but can you build a bridge with it?" Those who reject their assigned categories are called names. So-called conforming blacks are called Oreos by members of their own community. Conservatives become fascists. Preaching tolerance, multiculturalists seldom practice it. Here's the best part. In a desperate attempt to explain this shit away, Carrie Kupek, a Department of Justice spokescreep, speaking to BuzzFeed News, said that her articles were intentionally provocative, designed to raise questions and push back against liberal elitism that dominated her campus at the time. She'll make an exemplary judge on the D.C. Circuit, even though she's never been anywhere near a fucking courtroom. Her nomination died with the last Congress, but make no mistake, Julius Geezer will renominate her. Might want to keep her on your radar. Wonder how noted Republican moderate centrist Susan Collins will think of her. Wonder what she'll think of her words. Or maybe world-renowned hog deballer Joni Ernst, who now sits because the whole Brett Kavanaugh hearing debacle was really pretty embarrassing, seeing how the Republicans wouldn't let no girls play on the Judiciary Committee. Well, now they corrected that. They put noted hog deballer Joni Ernst on, who doesn't know shit from Shinola about the law, and they put on noted Tennessee wackadoodle Marsha goodness, Blackburn. Whoo, yeah, yeah, right. And so the evening is toddling along, and hopefully at some point we will knock down a few more dollars of the 375 that we need to raise so that we're not looking at 575 tomorrow evening. Gosh, that would be wonderful if we did. And thanks so much if we do. And thank you early on to Otto DeShott for getting us started at the beginning of the program. Meanwhile, let's run over and talk to Todd. Hey, Todd.
Bob.
Todd.
Listen, I don't think you're allowed to talk about deballing hogs. It's inappropriate.
Well, we'll just have to wait for the funky Communications Commission letter, won't we?
Yeah. I just don't know what to say about that woman. And Marsha.
My roof.
Goodness.
I can't be on.
Goodness.
She's big time. Now she's in the Senate, man.
I played footsie with a guy in Tennessee who's very close to an NRA guy who's who happens to just be like a real friend of Vlad Putin.
Oh, see.
I mean, I don't want to get all Joe McCarthy, but this stuff actually has fucking evidence behind it.
Say it again, please say it again, please.
Yeah, which?
All of it, because apparently logic doesn't sink in with some of these organisms.
Well, it is what it is. And there's a whole lot of walks like a duck and quacks like a duck about all of this that's just sort of hard to ignore. I mean, it is for me. All those Russian dollars laundered through the NRA and all those NRA dollars going into the pocket of Lindsey and Mitch and Marsha and all those RNC emails that the Russians have, but we don't. Just stinks a little bit.
My reception went in and out, but I'm quite sure you're referring to the lack of support for repealing the Russian sanctions. And it's like, well, wait a minute. You guys are voting not to have these sanctions in the midst of all this real news that we see. That's what you mean, right? All right, am I being too nebulous here? Do I have to be more specific?
No, you're doing fine.
Because I could not believe that shit. I'm like, okay, all right, so this shit really is the Americans. Or, I haven't watched it yet, but I watched the preview, and we talked about it the other night. So, you know, I mean, my goodness, what is going on with these people?
I wish I could tell you. I mean, there's a possibility that some of this will be touched upon by Mueller, but I don't know that it will, and you don't know that it will, and nobody knows that it will. And I'm just trying to give people a little heads up, and I know it may rub a little bit like sandpaper on a sore place, but they really are the Barr family and the Mueller family really are dear friends.
Oh.
And unless Barr is, had some sort of road to Damascus moment wherein he's decided to just sort of slip into the conversation and make sure that nobody can touch Mueller, then Republican's Republican, okay? The guy who killed the Iran-Contra investigation is really going to let Robert Mueller put the wood to Donald Trump?
Oh, there's so much you just said right there. First of all, look what we're dealing with now. We don't hear enough of, because when we were growing up, when we were teenagers, we saw the impact. And it started before we were teenagers in terms of the United States intervention in Central America. Because I'm thinking way back, United Fruit in Panama. I mean, probably it was before then, but, it didn't just start. That was around the 1900s, around the turn of the century. But then, of course, in the 80s, we did, with Kenny Ortega and the Contras. So here we come again with this jackass. And then, I'm talking about Barr.
I prefer retread, but, whatever gets you through the night,
Well, retread is probably more accurate. The worst that didn't happen before last time we talked, but my God, when he was asked about, when Barr was asked about the corruption, the Mueller probe, and he said, he said his stomach churning was brought up by a Democratic questioner, a senator, I don't know who it was. And then Barr said, stomach churning? Barr referred to the struck page emails.
Oh, that was the first thing. That was the first thing out of the gate with Lindsey Graham.
But wait a minute. Wait, And then Barr acted like he didn't know, why should I be stomach turned? You know, he just turned it all around. I was like, oh, my God, here we go. And smug-ass motherfucker, because he knows he's got the vote. But at least he could act like he's going to be normal. He doesn't even pretend. Because that Iran Contra shit, I'm telling, see, I don't know, that's really, a lot of us.
That was some filthy business. And it deserved to be pursued to the ends, the logical end of the legal process. And William Barr made sure that it wasn't.
It's not like it went away. We're still suffering those repercussions from that nonsense. You know, that's just unforgivable. Oh, my God. I mean, anybody who was there, I remember being home watching Oliver North, you know, in his little uniform. Watching that. And then he was like, yeah, I broke the law. Yes, I did. Yes, we subverted the Bolin Amendment. Yes, we did. But I was trying to protect my country.
But and I, that yeah, motherfucker right, but I done it. But I done it for Merca.
You know, fuck him.
Make freight train take a dirt road. I know. But see, Mike in Cascadia, for instance, Todd, is thinking kind of like we're thinking. Subject line Barr, mowing yard, frozen hands on iPhone, cold, Washington, 45. Burr, fingers hardly working. We know Barr pardoned H.W. Pappy Bush. Could this be a Trump trap? Barr published his screed against Mueller to get Trump's attention. So that gets Barr the AG position. Barr, though, a Bush loyalist, lets Mueller do his work. If this is so, this would be the ultimate shiv to Trump by the Bushes. 3D chess. You just made me think of that. Got to finish mowing. Burr, 45 degrees, Northwest Washington style, is cold. Signed, Mike in Cascadia. And let me just say, first of all, that wet and 45 degree shit is bone-chilling miserable. No doubt about it. So,
did you have it too? Yes, this morning.
Well, I mean, that's more or less what I grew up with. You know, we might get an inch of snow every 2 years in Northwest Alabama. But what you got a lot of was humid, wet, and 33 degrees.
Well, that was what we woke up to the past. And we woke up in a cloud. I mean, it was warm the day before. Woke up, the dog is freaking out because the cats are everywhere outside. So, and I mean, like you said, if you go outside, it sticks to your clothes. It's that, right, that humid cloud, and you can't even get the house warm. Forget about it.
Well, and once you're cold, there's no get. You know, I know. On the other hand, what's coming here, it's been bouncing around a little bit, but, yeah, the latest is that we had some snow flurries today. It turns back to rain tonight. Then we're gonna drop to an overnight low Saturday night of 24. We're going to have snow on Sunday up to 29. And then Sunday night, the temps are going to fall 23 degrees to 6.
Get the fuck out of here, man.
And the Monday high is 18. The low Monday night is 15.
Shit. Oh, God.
Bob's
not telling you, but listen, people, this me have to cut you off because Bob is going to need more propane. And this is, I'm not trying to be funny. This is. You see, the ground is saturated, and when it gets cold, this coldness comes up out of the ground in the south, up into the house, and you just can't get away from it. It's on top of you, it's below you, it's around you. It's no fun.
Oh no! Like right here in the studio, right now, up on the clock on the wall where the thermometer is, at about 6 inches more than head height to me, it's 67 degrees because I've been running the propane. Down on the floor, it's more like 48.
See?
Yeah, it's kind of hateful.
And 67 is like, that's balmy, you know, in terms of what it's about to come around.
Oh no, I'm happy. I'm happy with that.
but that's because we've been we ran propane in here until about the first hour of the program, from about 3 o'clock this afternoon.
Holy cow!
Before that, you could see your breath in here. It gets a little, yeah.
I know. We're not complaining. We're just kind of just stating the facts here. That's just the way it is.
Yeah. And you know, not just propane is what we use back here, and it would be a lot worse than what it is were it not for our buddy Tom from the Bay Area, who provided me with the setup to use a 20-pound tank to refill a 1-pound tank so I could run it on this little portable space heater and not pay $3 mm-hmm. and not pay $3.25 for a 1-pound can. There's a reusable unit, and boom, 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 done. In the house, though, back in the main part of the mansion, we have a kerosene heater, and we turn that sucker on, and it works. Oh, it works like gangbusters. But then it gets so damn hot that you can't bear it, so you turn it off. Everything gets cold. You turn it back on, and on the nights when it's going to get down to, you know, 6 or something insane like that, you kind of stay up off and on all night long, just making sure the house is okay. You know, mm-hmm. making sure that everybody, yeah.
It's not the safest for me.
It's an 82-year-old house. It's going to be what it's going to be.
It's going to be, and you have, right, and you know how it is. You have to sleep with that one eye open with the kerosene. I mean, even if you don't have any animals around, it's just
right. And I mean, there's carbon monoxide, and you don't want to wake up all dead.
Right, you wake up like a zombie, and it's like, I'm not dead. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. I'm a ghost. No, you're not. Yes, I am. No, you're not. You know,
if you wake up and your teeth are turning black, you know, you may have a little you may have a little carbon monoxide problem.
Oh my God! Oh, well, yeah. I'm not trying to be funny with it, but the overnight crew. I have a firm belief the overnight crew is going to come in here. So it was very disappointing that whole group of Republicans would not even sustain these sanctions in the midst of what we see now. And we've been talking about, I mean, you've been talking about that for, well, a year now, almost.
We've known since Trump entered office that one of his goals was to undo the sanctions that were imposed on Russia under the Obama administration, because he was put in office to do that.
I know it's not constitutional, but when you put all of these things together, even before this report is issued, the cherry on the top is this NATO shit. Now, he's preying on people's stupidity. I mean, the world was so happy at the end of World War II. Europe has been fighting forever. And so here comes NATO. All right. And these trumpeteers, you'll hear them, and they love to talk about, well, those Soviets, they sacrificed so many people at the end of the war, but they failed to say that, yeah, it only took Stalin, like, you know, like 15 minutes to say, yeah, you know what, fuck that. I'm doing something else. So they forget to say that part. You know, they had their own idea for Stalin there at the time. So this is bullshit. You know, NATO's there for a reason, and thank God. And you see what happened. They finally woke up over there in Great Britain. You know, well, halfway. No, because, I mean, Theresa May should have gotten a full. You know, it didn't work. You know, her no confidence vote didn't go through. But I really don't want to. I want to let somebody else call in. But So it was nice to hear Carol Baker. Was that last night or night before?
That was lovely. Yeah, that was Tuesday evening.
I was wondering. I was like, oh, because I kept asking. I asked a couple times. And said she was out, you know, doing other things out of, away from, you know, her home and all that. So if Carol's listening, Carol, it's nice to hear you, and I'm glad you're well. And I'm sorry your heat went out. That's awful. That is because.
Oh, and I'm sitting here pissing and moaning about 6 degrees. Kansas City is gonna get just frozen this weekend.
I've never been in Missouri, but I mean, I read the news. It gets cold as you know what. I mean, come on. That's hard. All of that trick, man. Oh my God.
Carol did apparently take my advice and went ahead and sprung for a kerosene heater. Got the last kerosene heater in the store and bought the last 5 gallons of kerosene. So she's set.
I'm not totally against the kerosene. It has its place. I still have a couple of them from the 80s. You know, they're old. That's the old kind with the cartridge. Like you fill up a cartridge of kerosene. I didn't have the nice round one, but there's a couple of them in the stores. I mean, you have to do what you have to do. With this weather. I was going to mess with Jesse Lee, but I don't know.
Oh, you brought up Jesse Lee. Guess what? I found out why we didn't have a Jesse Lee quote Wednesday evening.
Are you Sergio Segway again?
Well, I didn't segue. You segued. His show was airing on Newsmax TV.
Oh, my God.
You know how far down the wingnut food chain that is. He got canceled by Newsmax TV. Because in an example of the internet knowing way too much shit about me.
Wait a minute. He got canceled by, I'm sorry, I'm loud. He got canceled by that.
I think what did him in was when he announced that he was going to follow the white folks into space. Now, if he'd said he wanted the white folks to go into space, that would have been cool. But when he said he wanted to follow the white folks into space and buy property in space with the white folks, no, it was time to cancel Jesse Lee.
They said, no, Jesse, we didn't lose out now on private Earth because we need to take care of the people.
You've been working on your Jesse Lee. But yes, he got canned by Newsmax TV. But like I said, in an example of the internet knowing way too much about me for reasons I don't fully understand, son of a gun, if I wasn't wandering along through Twitter today, and a tweet from Jesse Lee pops up, and I'm like,
"Yes." Wait a minute, this is monumental. Oh, my God.
I don't even look for Jesse Lee clips on my phone. And there he was.
We could poke at him, man. Let's poke at him weekly.
Well, there's a new term out there in Twitter land. You may be familiar with it. People referring to, I'm only here for the ratio.
No, I've not heard of that.
And it's funny. You know, when some asshole tweets something and every tweet after is somebody calling him an asshole or talking about why he's an asshole. That apparently is the ratio. And I'm only here. And oh my God, Jesse Lee got so ratioed. If you want to poke at Jesse Lee, you're going to have to take a damn number, Todd.
I had the Twitter thing bookmarked because I like to look at 45's Twitters because it's just unbelievable. Because they are official record according to him in the beginning, you know, his first year or so. But that's crazy. That dude, I'm not surprised. How does he even know about you, though?
Well, he doesn't. But he just, I don't follow him. He just showed up in my timeline. And I have no explanation.
You know, I think that's a good. That's healthy. I think that's good. That's a good, healthy discourse. And maybe, who knows? It's metadata, man. Maybe, who knows? I think that's healthy. I think that's funny. Oh, my goodness. So,
But what he was doing today, just in case people are wondering, he tweeted a photo. You know that now iconic photo of the new women of color in the House?
Oh, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He tweeted a picture of them. And he put captions on it.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know he doesn't like women. So.
Oh, no, he really despises women.
Well, I see he doesn't respect women. He probably likes to get some pussy, maybe. I don't know. Who knows? But oh God, did I say that?
Yeah, you said that. Yeah, you want to de-sexist yourself real quick.
Yeah, let me. I know.
So here's the photo. One arrow says lives with partner, with scare quotes around partner. The next one says married a single father. Then an arrow pointing to Ilhan Omar, Muslim with hijab. Then single mother of a lesbian daughter. Followed by, officiated a, scare quotes again, gay wedding. And then all caps pointing to Sharice Davids, the mixed martial arts fighter who could kick his ass and break him into a million tiny pieces. All caps, lesbian! Which means, she's the one that turns me on!
Right.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we should... I hate to use the word dissect again, but pick apart and dissect, you know, this.
He got 6,948 comments on that photo, and the ratio is huge.
So that's what I have to look out for, the ratio. That's okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I like that. Okay. So ratio means rebuttal in a way, huh?
Yeah, the number of people who are utterly disagreeing versus the tiny minority of people who are saying, preach it, Jesse Lee.
Okay. Yeah. That's like when I read the comments in The Hill. And I know why you said that they lean right. I remember you mentioned that one evening because there's a guy, I didn't say his name last time, but I'll say it starts with O. His last name begins with O. And he has the most repulsive editorial articles in The Hill. But I think it's still balanced in that that's not the only, like, he's far right, but they let different folks put their editorials in.
Well, you're gonna love this. I've just been looking at his timeline.
Jesse? Okay.
He subtweets a quote from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and says, "You don't belong there. You're unqualified and clueless." How sad that, and he @ Steve King, how sad that @ Steve King IA is barred from sitting on committees while this idiot is elevated and rewarded. There's something really wrong with our government and the Republican Party. Sad.
So what does he have to say about Steve King? Because she's not clueless. She won her district.
Oh, no, like, well, I mean, he did that one clip one time with, the Nazi, Gavin McInnes.
Mm-hmm.
Where he declared there is no such thing as racism. So if there's no such thing as racism, Steve King can't possibly be racist.
That's that dodo bird stuff, man. I find many people find that individual Jesse Lee Peterson to be absolutely repulsive and just unforgivable. Yet there is a segment of the population, obviously, that follows that and believes that. And I had no idea until I moved. I lived here as an adult. How conservative, and it doesn't matter the ethnicity or the phenotype, whatever, you know, the South is conservative.
I think that's a very fair statement. Yes, it's like what I said, the conversation Agnes and I had as we were driving back from Georgia. I don't know what would happen to the South if they ever got to experience good government. Because it's been 150 years of trying to make sure the power structure in the South, that the South never does have good government.
Mm-mm.
I mean, can you imagine a flowering of New England-style democracy in Mississippi?
No.
The only way that happens is if you have a fully empowered community of color that is welcomed with open arms into civic participation. That's not going to happen in a state that accidentally tweets that the government's going to be closed on Monday for Robert E. Lee's birthday.
They still celebrate, in this state, they do not celebrate Memorial Day. They celebrate Confederate Memorial Day.
Yeah, because we wouldn't want to be memorializing none of them Yankees.
Well, I mean, what the fuck is that? Do they not understand that looks like bullshit? It's like, how can you, this is why you cannot trust, that's why I cannot have my better half's kids down here to be educated.
Oh, no.
I'm like, there's no point. Those kids cannot go to school here. That it wouldn't even work, because they're too far normalized. You know.
Are you saying they'd be deemed uppity down there?
Uppity. They would be lucky if they were deemed uppity. And oh my God, you have no idea, because mom ain't no joke. Let me tell you. Look. Mom is number one. She's the best driver in the world. She would make Richard Petty look like,
You know what? In a place like South Carolina, as I recently found out, you got to be on your A game all the way through the state. Because it is crazy. It is crazy people from one state line to the other. And God forbid, three flakes of snow fall in South Carolina. Because it's going to be mayhem, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, my goodness. There are accidents here in the broad daylight, dry pavement, where there should be no accidents. Like where I grew up, if you had an accident, clear, dry day, they're going to have the medics say, they're going to draw blood at the scene. They're like, something's wrong. What is wrong with you? You know? But everyone, I blame it on NASCAR partly, and partly I blame it on rural living, like folks just drive like, you know, they're on the farm and just get in, pick up and just drive. You don't, no turn signals.
Well, I mean, you know what? You're probably right. I don't have a lot of traffic around here. I'm pretty good on narrow winding roads. But when I go south and it doesn't matter if going through Nash Vegas or Knoxville or hey, whatever.
Did you say Nash Vegas?
Yeah, Nash Vegas. You didn't know that? It doesn't. You got to get into a different mindset.
Oh, yo, you got to be ready, man. Every day, I'm telling you, I got to put my mental helmet on. When I get on the highway around here, number one, people will tailgate in the rain.
Oh, every time there's certain places when we're driving south, when we get to it, I look over at Agnes and I go, okay, baby, we're going to the whip now. and my foot finds the firewall and we get going. Otherwise,
and by the way, it's legal to pass on the right in this state, which makes no fucking sense, because who else passes on the right?
Horrible drivers.
Well, they had to dumb down normal driving etiquette for this fucking state, because people don't understand you're not supposed
How
to
is that right. ever a good idea, passing on the right?
This is why, because these people are like, I mean, speed is fine if you know when and where to speed. But you cannot speed in an urban area. You can't speed when traffic is congested. You speed when you see somebody, see they don't like people being slow in front of them. You know, I'm telling you, it is really fucking dangerous, man. And now these people have these huge trucks and shit and these extra bright lights, man, they will actually just push you off the fuck. And, you know, I drive a pretty fast car, but I don't like to drive fast all the time. I have zero ticket. Zero. For a fucking reason.
Yeah, you're loving that low insurance premium, aren't you? Now that you're old enough to have one.
Once I turned 25, man, and of course, you know, I took the subway for years, but I still drove. And, you know, in Philly, man, my God, my car got towed so many times because it would stay parked. But I was living in a high rise, and it's like, you get a space, man, that car will sit there. That's the hell I need to drive for. I take the train to work.
No, that was how it was in D.C. We made sure that we got to where we were going on a Sunday, get that parallel parking slot in front of the apartment building, and never move it unless it's after 8 p.m.
There you go. Exactly. Right. When the meter's sitting. Yep. You know the deal. I mean, wait a minute. When I went to Oregon, I came back, and I had an old beater, you know, because in the wintertime, somebody's going to hit your car. I came back. People had stripped my turn signal light out. You know, they just started taking parts off the car. So I was like, okay, I have to move the vehicle. And then I got a ticket because they said I was in one space too long. And I'm like, my God, man, you can't win. Because if you drive the car to work, who's going to pay $20 if you get there early all day? Who's going to pay $20 a day to park? I mean, I wouldn't make that kind of money.
No. I mean, we have to factor that stuff in when we go to do ache work in D.C. because a lot of times we have to stay way the hell out in Manassas and then get on 66 and battle our way into D.C. and then park for $24 a day at Union Station.
Right.
Yeah. By the way, courtesy
of... That was the cheapest. That was a good deal.
Yeah, that's the best parking in D.C. Courtesy of Mark in Florida, a recent Jesse Lee sighting, 1 hour old, on Twitter. Here's my recent appearance, the David Knight Show on InfoWars. Oh, he's auditioning for Alex Jones. Discussing the attack on Representative Steve King and how white Christian conservatives and all those who love truth, capitalizing truth, of course, in the Trumpian style, can defeat godless Democrats and save America. Check it out. Yeah, and by the way, I got a note from Les a few minutes ago saying, Uncle Ruckus got canceled? Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. As much as Uncle Ruckus strive to have a white man in his mouth, only for said man to get him in the opposite end.
If Jesse Lee is not happy unless he has a white man's semen on the taste of his tongue, followed by Mika's mark.
You're going to hell, you know that, Todd? Because I'm just guessing. I'm going to get a note from a member of the considerable gay community portion of the Horn Family Community Congregation that says, "Oh no, he's your problem. We ain't having him."
And I don't mean that in an answer. Listen, I'm about everybody. Loves
No. I get it. By the way, your fellow. Palmetto Stater, David in South Carolina, Stan, with a note.
Right.
Subject line, single cars versus oak trees. We have more single car versus oak tree and ditches accidents than other places. Also, people running into lighted cop cars and fire trucks.
Woo.
So it wasn't just me.
No. And if you ever go through 26, man, that's the death. It's called the clusterfuck when you get, you know, near Columbia. It's just
I've been there.
You probably went there when you went to the
Pure Madness. Pure Madness.
And then you had the tractor trailers. You know, most of them, they know how to drive, but I mean, you can only slow down but so much.
Right, because I mean, they're in even worse shape. They're having to deal with the people who run into parked oak trees. And it's hard to stop one of them damn tractor trailers in a hurry.
You pretty much can't. You use the car in front of you to stop. You know, that's the brake.
That ain't engine braking.
It's like, look, oh, that little pissant car. Oh, I'm not getting killed. You know, shoot. Oh, my God. Do you have any switchbacks near you? I'm just curious.
Are you kidding? There's a curve down the mountain for me where you can see your own rear end going around it.
Shit.
Is that me in front of me? Yeah.
I just asked because I remember a couple of years ago we were over there in Lake Lurie. And man, this nice little Mazda sports car was in half coming down that switchback. And I mean, it, like, if you have a sports car, especially like maybe a 911, like a nice, well-balanced sports car with a mid-engine design, I could see how you could just
oh, no, there was a time, and it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yes, I do. I mean, we got curves around here that look like something you only see on a microscope slide.
You know.
The road from, and you can look it up on an atlas, the road from Grantsville, West Virginia to Harrisville, West Virginia, I don't think that there's actually 36 continuous inches of straight pavement on it. If you're somebody that loves to drive heel and toe and get your sports car on, that's a road for the ages. Now, you'll probably beat the hell out of your suspension because it's a West Virginia road, but it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
I know for a fact it's fun.
Did you have your, you know what, there when you had it? Your Porsche?
Yep. Yeah, I drove that road. It was an 87 Porsche Carrera Targa S.
Oh, man. With the nice tires, man.
Oh, yeah. Z-rated tires. Front ones were smaller than the back ones. No way to rotate them. I mean, you can go back and forth on the front and back and forth on the back, but it ain't a good idea.
No, of course not. I know that hurt.
Yeah, that was a $1,000 adventure when it was new tire time. But yeah, I tried. I had Michelins. I had Pirellis. In the long run, I like the Pirellis better. But I mean, those Z-rated tires were just—they were soft as a fucking pencil eraser, and if you got 20,000 miles out of them, you were doing great.
But they grip.
Oh yeah, oh they gripped like crazy. And it wasn't one of the modern Porsche engines. It wasn't air cool, or it wasn't water cooled. It was an air breather, and the oil change was 11 quarts of Mobil 1.
11?
Yep.
I had no idea.
Yeah, 11 quarts, and there's a wet oil sump. Because what it does is the oil cools the engine, and the air cools the oil.
Okay. Well, that's why all that grill is right there behind the window.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what it's for.
See, the reason I always talk about Real Racing 3 is that you start off with a regular car, which we've all driven, and then as you get better, and I haven't spent a dime on this, you just have to be able to drive and put some time into it, but these cars handle like the real car, and you're on real racetracks. Like, there's this racetrack that the new update, it's called Circuit of the Americas. It's in Alabama. That's a fun track. It's almost as fun as the ring out there in Austria. But that's a fun track.
Oh, you mean Germany, the Nürburgring?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but, that was years and years ago. That was one of the bucket list things when I was young and dreamy.
not by appearance, just by hopes. And the back then, Porsche had a thing where you could factory order your car, and when you picked it up there in Zuffenhausen, it would come with a free pass to go and sort of check your brand new car out on the Nürburgring.
You kidding?
No, I don't think they do that anymore. But yeah, it was.
Was that tied into what they call the gray market, where you kind of purchase your car?
Oh no, it was a whole. It was a whole open and above board thing. You fly to Stuttgart. They put you up in a hotel. You tour the museum. You tour the factory. And then you literally watched your brand new Porsche roll out of the factory with like 1/10 of a mile on the odometer.
Oh man, that's the way to do it. Damn.
Yeah.
And you get to dig into that clutch the first time.
Oh. You know, and that took some getting used to, because the clutch pedal didn't hang down from the firewall; it went down into the floorboard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a driver's clutch. And
what has happened with folks, man? People don't even know how to drive a stick anymore. And
that's one of the things I do like about Mazda. You can even get that sexy little Mazda 6 sedan.
Mm-hmm.
You can get that
mm-hmm.
damn thing with a stick.
Well, I don't know what's coming next. I don't.
I've got a buddy who took a lot of convincing, but he eventually bought himself a 911 with the water-cooled engine and with the Tiptronic transmission. He was really agnostic about the Tiptronic until he got it, and he said it's every bit that thing's so finely tuned that it was every bit as much fun as driving his old 911 turbo with a stick.
That's with the tapper on the wheel?
Yeah, paddle shifters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You can either do it manually or you can just let the computer do it.
Well, the last Porsche I drove was that the one that looks like an SUV. I think it's
the Cayenne.
Right. And man, that thing drives looks like a big matchbox car, and that's exactly, oh my God. It makes you want to go over shit. Oh my God.
I got passed by a Panamera a couple of weeks ago, you know, the four-door sedan. Those things look like something out of the Jetsons, and it was going places.
There's two of those in town. And you know, there are a lot of there's a lot of old money around here, man. There's a lot.
You live next door to a polo pitch, for Christ's sakes. What do you want?
It's that, you know, these people are weak. I don't know. They have money and they don't know what,
Okay, so I've got a review of South Carolina, courtesy of Brother Deacon Asa, and we'll wrap up after this, Todd.
Okay.
Speaking of South Carolina, he says, there are clusters of gun store, titty bar, porn stores every 60 feet. There's really nothing of substance in the damn state save for a few of those barbecue joints that we might aspire to patronize.
Oh, my God. That was only like 3 sentences. You hit the nail on the head.
I mean, I will not forget any time soon when I finally realized that all those beaten up convenience stores and truck stops on that highway we were on were actually just stuff that still hadn't been fixed from Hurricane Florence. The signs that far inland were blown the hell away.
We're still recovering. And they have not. They have, see, this property rights thing. All right. So in the capital city, there's a wonderful neighborhood called Forest Acres. It's on the outskirts of the city. I mean, it's like, if you have the money, that's the place to live. It's like you're in the suburbs, but you're not. And except that, you know, like most places, the roads go over natural waterways because those are the trails. And boy, oh boy, and these people have lakes in front of their houses, and they don't know what to do with these earthen dams. So it's still flooding. I mean, it's raining right now again. Cold rain. We just talked about it. Here it is again. It's raining.
But
cold
do
rain.
Let's remember, you live in a state where there's no such thing as climate change.
Oh, of course not. No. That's some leftist communist nonsense that's brought out by those lefties. Those you know who? Well, man, I'm sorry. I lost track of time. But I guess. every day is a new day. I don't know what the hell. I'm worried about this Barr character because when he said,
"Well, you've got a damn good reason to be worried." The guy has made millions off of industries that he's going to be expected to, you know, regulate.
But he made it very fucking clear, very clear, that was his decision to release the full report. So I'm calling all journalists, all leakers, leak that shit now. Leak that, I mean, not now, as soon as it comes out, leak it. Because fuck him. All the whole country's in turmoil over this, and he's going to say that, and that was like, he was emphatic. Oh, no, I'll make that decision. I'm like, who the fuck are you? You know, this is our whole country. This is beyond your position. But did you see the smugness?
Oh yeah, he's a smug one, no doubt about it.
Oh, I know. I don't know. I know I gotta go. But well, anyway, man. Did you get a fit? When was the last time you had some ribs?
I haven't had ribs in a while. Now, I tell you, I was at the Wiggling Pig today, and they had a vacuum-sealed two-pack of butts on sale. And, I mean, 6 degrees, man, 6 degrees. That's going to be hard. But I was sorely tempted. But you're right. I've been thinking more about ribs. And ribs only take 4 hours, assuming I can get the acorn to cooperate.
Well, that was the other thing. I guess you have it jacked up and a brick under there. I don't know.
No, right now it's just a matter of having the clips hold it on. Because, as James in Illinois described it, the little bracket failed from metal fatigue between moisture and heat. I guess that'll do steel in.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, some ribs would be nice. Very nice.
My cousin...
By the way, when you get bored, go online and look up Kudu Grill. I think we may have talked about this. KUDU Kudu Grill. It's an It's an African style grilling apparatus. It's made down in Georgia, and I want one of them too.
I have to check that out.
Got lots of accessories. Lots of accessories.
Got to do that, and you know, I was just thinking about the whole setup, man, with the flat griddle, and you know, I dream of consistently, like 24/7 peppers and onions on a flat grill, very low.
Oh, I know. See, Ferg and I were talking earlier today, and I said I've got this thing in my head that I want to see happen. Come spring, warm weather, short pants, no shirt weather. The horror. But set up a good like butcher block table, and get that griddle going, and get the acorn going. And I said I want to work up a really kick ass stock, and I want us to go back and watch that brilliant Japanese noodle master, and I want us to learn how to make the udon. And I want us to make and cut fresh noodles, and I want to get hog jowl and cut it thick and grill it like you would pork belly over the on the open flame of the grill, and I want to make ramen, real ramen, and I want to make it outside under the sun. And damn, I'm hungry now.
Is that like that video that we talked about?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe maybe if you just type in Japanese Noodle Master, it may still be in it may still be in my YouTube browsing history. Let me.
I still have that link because I did. I pulled it up. The care, it was like everything was everything was orchestrated. It was purposeful. Every movement was purposeful. That's what I'm trying to say. When the Noodle Master was making his noodles.
Yeah, there it is. Anybody wants to look it up? Soba, man, not udon, soba. Soba Master Tatsuru Rai demonstrates his craft. Tatsuru, T-A-T-S-U-R-U-R-A-I, Tatsuru Rai.
You know something? Good. The freedom to make good food is one of the last freedoms that we really have, if you think about it.
Well, and to try to control your ingredients and the purity of your food and hope against hope that, you know, there's no poop molecules on your food because, you know, Trump shut the, you know, you'd think a germaphobe like him would be like, hey, there might be poop molecules on but I don't eat salad anyway, so fuck it. Dude, you eat ground beef. It ain't being inspected.
Listen, this shit is going to come to an end very, very soon. Susan Page stole my thunder this morning on Morning Dickhead because when she said, well, when Cohen starts, Cohen or Cohn, however he pronounces his name, when he starts to testify, you know, that's going to break the ice. But beyond that, do people understand this is not just esoteric bullshit? These Washington Journal maggots, it ain't affecting me. I don't care. Shut it down. They ain't doing nothing for me. They make too much money. And I'm sitting here struggling, and ain't they sitting on their fat asses and up there in Washington, they say, you know, fuck that shit. You know, I'm just, the idiocy, we cannot let the idiots run things. We can't let the idiots think it's okay to be an idiot. I mean, it's okay to be an idiot, but you can, and you can speak as loud as you want, but don't act like you can run shit. Just shut the fuck up.
Yeah, don't act like you're intelligent or anything.
Right, like, you know, be like me.
No, see, I don't get into it, but I managed to get into it today up at the Rippy Mart. I didn't mean to.
Oh, shit. Oh, wait a minute.
You know, we were just sitting there pissing and moaning about the weather and how cold it's going to get, and I said to the clerk, screw it, I'm going to Mexico. And this woman looks at me and says, you won't be able to get back in across Trump's wall. I am not going to let you hang an alley-oop like that up over the rim without me dunking on your ass. You know?
What? That woman was not, man, come on.
I said, Jesus, that septuagenarian orange man baby is an embarrassment to everything this country's ever stood for. You don't like Trump? I said, I despise him and the air he breathes. He's an idiot. He's a grifter. He's a con artist. He's a crook. He's a foreign agent of a hostile power. He's enthralled to Russia. No, he's not. He's making America great again. He's going to be the greatest president we've ever had.
To your face?
Yeah.
That woman
and she was smiling face. The whole time, and I'm like, oh, okay, you're kidding, right? No, I'm serious.
Do you now believe we need re-education camps?
I've been saying since early December we need Reconstruction 2.0.
Because these people, it doesn't matter what happens with Mueller or anything. These folks are done, man. There's something wrong. I was thinking earlier today, just like they use targeted demographics in terms of zip codes and this and that, we need to have mass ECT treatments, electroconvulsive therapy. They can be in their homes. They won't even know what happened. They just go to touch the TV.
Oh, by the way, in the middle of the shutdown, melanoma
is flying down to Florida, I guess.
To do what?
Because it's cold in D.C.
She's trying to make 20 bucks.
Oh, wait a minute. The hard way. Yeah. Rodney Dangerfield, Caddyshack. Hey, honey, you want to make 20 bucks? You want to make 10 bucks the hard way? Ooh, I bet you look great back before electricity. Sorry, it's all just, it's just a series of movie clips that just runs through my poor little mind. Man, we've run over, Todd, but it's been a blast, man. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, I'll see you.
All right, later. Bye now. Somebody Todd down South Carolina stand. Got to get out of here. Where did we finish this evening? Yes, we have 300. Thank you, Earther, who kept us with a nice, weird number. We have $368 to go. That means tomorrow, $568. And if we can round all that up, maybe there will be a program on Monday, which would be cool if I'm not freaking freezing. So I'll be here for Friday on the front porch. I hope you will be as well. Thanks to everybody who keeps this program on the air. Thanks to all our subscribers. Thank you so very, very much for keeping the number from being much, well, from lower than it otherwise would have been. Thank you to our to everyone who listens to the program and shares their precious finite time engaging in this ongoing experiment in conversation radio. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you very kindly to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.